A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, welcome on in. It's Unrivaled, 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network, powered by KSL Sports. Scott, this is a good sign for the show. Scott and I both had to take headache medicine before the show.
Mine wasn't headache medicine. Mine was just tummy ache.
Okay, so we're doing well.
I have a tummy ache.
So you've got Tums, and I've got the Excedrin.
Tum, ta-dum, tum.
You think that's a good start? Both of us going, oh, man, will you hand me that?
That's just a normal day.
So this is a normal day for you. We're starting off the show. We've got so many things to get through.
Look, we get into people's heads, and we touch their hearts and their stomachs and their souls.
So that's what it is.
Hopefully,
by the end of the show, you're taking Tums and taking your headache medicine as well, if we get to you too much. So that's a sign of a good show for us. We haven't even started yet, and we're already taking headache medicine and heartburn meds. So there you go. Here's the deal. We got to start off the show. First of all, I was looking at something today, and while we were prepping for this show, I noticed we were doing something. Every show, we have the weirdest Google searches, okay? Like, our conversations in show prep lead to the weirdest things that we end up looking at.
The best show we have never gets on the air.
Right?
For a good reason.
Before you even walked into the studio, I had already looked up a couple things. One of them was, what does a mosquito burger taste like?
A mosquito burger?
I don't know why.
Okay.
Well, no, I do know why. On Reddit, I saw these guys making these burgers. They're catching tons of these, and they're not actually mosquitoes. I guess they're different. But people call them a mosquito burger, and they just collect these bugs. They collect them like crazy. They stick in this pan, and they make the – anyway, that was one thing. So here's our search history before the show. These are all appropriate for the air, okay? The other stuff we leave out. Search history before the show. Shamrock Series ticket price for BYU Notre Dame.
Which is insane.
Average ticket price, $650.
Crazy.
I couldn't find anything.
Notre Dame BYU in the middle of the season.
It's because it's Vegas, but part of the discussion was: do you think we're going to have? You think you're going to see more BYU fans there than Notre Dame fans? I think Jeremy, our producer, has a lunch on the line with one of his friends. What is he, a Notre Dame fan? Is that what it is? Is he just pumping Notre Dame? So Jeremy's going back and forth with a friend who says that more Notre Dame fans are going to be at that game than BYU fans. And I said the only thing that's going to keep. I think that's insane because BYU – I know Notre Dame fans are everywhere. I know Notre Dame fans travel. But BYU is BYU, and this is kind of our region, right, for, you know, BYU, Utah fans. They traveled to Las Vegas. They show up big time. And so that was one of the things we were looking up is how much those ticket prices are. We'll get to that a little bit later. And average Super Bowl prices, because that led to that discussion. And it's almost getting to the – I mean, you're getting into the $1,500 to $2,000 mark for average prices for the Super Bowl. That's pre-secondary sales. Anyway, and that's about $1,100 to $2,000.
Well, Disney World now.
Again, this is another one. Search. This is another search.
For a family of four.
How much was
it? $5,700.
That's a lie. They don't do it like I do. Drive down there, peanut butter sandwiches
in
your back pocket.
Drive and you look for discounts.
Yeah, it'll be cheaper. And by the way, I've never gone to Disneyland for more than 2 days.
I think this is Disney World.
Disney World. Either way, I don't go. Like, I've never done the 4-day, 5-day thing. I can't freaking do it. All right? So I'm not going to do that. So that doesn't, because I have a family of eight. Does that mean it's $11,400 for me?
You're not a true Mouseketeer.
No, definitely not.
You only go for
I only
two
go.
Days.
My kids are like, can we go out on that ride again? I'm like, no, we got a schedule. Let's go. Let's get going. And then Al Michaels hype.
You're mean.
I'm not mean.
Yeah.
I just don't have $5,700.
That was the coolest vacation I went on as a child.
As a kid?
My parents just showed up on a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, but you know what?
Said, we're going to Disneyland. We got in the car and we just took off and
we
went.
We did the surprise. Amazing. We've done the surprise trip to Disneyland too. But we only went for a day. The rest of it was, we're going to the beach and we're going to suffer through the cold wind there and the cold Pacific. So good luck. Al Michaels' average height. Al Michaels' height.
That he fluctuates.
That was another one we looked up today. Those are just ones that I looked up because
a little bloated.
We were going back and forth.
Season.
We were just saying play-by-play guys tend to be the shorter, less athletic. Now, Hot Rod Huntley bucked that trend, right? That's the guy who played the game, super tall. But Al Michaels, somebody was saying, I don't know if it was you or Jeremy was saying, no, he's tall. Jeremy's like, no, he's tall. And I looked it up, he's 5'10". So not tall, per se.
He's short.
Chris Collinsworth, 6'6".
He's tall. Guy. And that's weird for a wide receiver.
How tall are you? How tall? Well, Bill's probably, what, 5'10", 5'11"? Is he in the 6-foot range, Bill Riley?
Oh, no, Bill's more my height.
No, he's not. Yeah, Bill isn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's not 6'6". Like, is he more my height? He's not taller than me.
Yeah, he's taller than you.
No, he's not. I've stood next to Bill.
Oh,
what
yeah.
are
he's
you
way,
talking
he's
about?
Way, well, how tall are you?
6'3"?
Oh, no, you're tall. You're probably taller than
Have you ever stood next to me?
Well, I didn't ever notice how tall you were. I've never gone around with like my tape measure
Scott
going.
Goes, eh, Scott just tall? Looks past everybody and goes, huh, so what do you got going on?
There's like three people that I've ever met in my life who I've actually looked up to. Most of my – I look down at people.
Yeah, I know you do.
Okay?
No, I know you do. It's a feeling. And
that's just kind of how it is.
I know. It's a feeling. It's an attitude.
Yeah.
I met Sean Bradley came into Broadcast House one time, and that was one.
Yeah,
I mean, I was up.
Sean Bradley's tall dude.
I was up to his armpit, you know, and that's weird.
The one who gets me the most, though,
who?
Mark Eaton.
Mark Eaton, large
yeah,
man.
That's it's Mr. Eaton. It was always Mr. Eaton.
Mr. Eaton.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, those are some people you're standing next to. Those are insane heights. So there you go. We're gonna kick the show off as we always do with the cut. So let's just jump right in here. I've got some questions to ask Scott. It's our signature. Ask Scott anything. Sometimes we get into stuff where we got to get some straight answers from Scott, and he'll bring them to us. So let's start things off with the cut here on the program.
The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled, top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
All right, the cut brought to you by University of Utah Health. At University of Utah Health, you get the same great care that the Jazz, RSL, and the Utah Trust visit. UofUHealth.org for more information. That's UofUHealth.org, proud sponsors of The Cut. I wanted to start things off kind of with some quarterback talk here, and since you're the quarterback in the room, let's kind of go there. So I'll ask you some quarterback questions. Sam Darnold says that he can still be one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and that's great. I'm glad you cannot be an NFL quarterback and not say that, I feel like. So is that one of those things where—
No, I think there's some guys that say that. I think there's some guys.
That's what I'm saying.
There's some NFL quarterbacks that say, "Yeah, I'm not the best."
Right.
There are guys in the NFL. There have always been guys in the NFL that go, "I need to keep myself around here and keep myself relevant enough,
right, to be able to stay here.
Just stay here for a long time." I'll give you a name off the top of my head.
Who is it?
Dave Craig. Dave Craig never thought of himself as the very best quarterback in the NFL. Now he thought he was good. And he thought he could play, and he thought he could do well, and he thought he could be an effective player. But Dave Craig never thought he was the best quarterback.
So when I was growing up and watching Dave Craig as a Seahawk fan, Dave Craig was – at one point, he might still be the career fumbles leader in the NFL.
He went to Milton College
in
Wisconsin,
that's
no longer has a school.
They don't have a football program?
It's
a school.
Non-existent.
The school's not a thing anymore?
Everything's gone. How would that be?
It does. It says was a private cop.
Yeah.
Ceased operations in 1983.
Yes.
Oh, my
Shortly
heavens.
After he left.
They're like, we got to stay open. We got to get doors open
for
Dave
about,
Craig.
Think about coming from Milton College that no longer exists. And I think Dave Craig played like 20 years.
Yeah, I mean, threw for 40,000 yards,
yeah,
which is a lot. Yeah. I mean, back in his day.
A
for
guy
sure.
like Ryan Fitzpatrick. A guy like, you know.
Like Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold.
Right?
Sam Darnold is kind of that guy.
But well, he's on this edge of.
He's on the verge of.
Being relegated to career backup, right?
It's worse if you're a first-round draft choice and you get relegated.
Yeah.
Like, if you're a guy that's never, I guess, gated, because you'd have to be. If you're never the guy.
Yeah.
Which I don't know what that word would be.
If you're never the guy?
If you're never a guy, like Ryan right. Fitzpatrick.
Sure.
Okay. This guy can go forever. Okay. Cade McCown can go forever.
But see,
because he's never been the guy. Nick Foles can go forever. Right. Like, he went to be the guy and then he got relegated and then he went, like, he can go. You can't go from being the guy and being relegated. Like Zach Wilson, okay?
Yes.
If Zach Wilson doesn't pan out, it's going to be a hard thing for him to have a long, long career.
Right, because of the stature of where he started. Like, you were a first-round pick, and now we'll demote you a lot quicker.
Think of Josh Rosen from UCLA.
Yeah, immediately.
Right, he was a first.
But he also didn't have the skills that everybody thought that he did.
No, but the point. Well, neither do any of these other guys. They're all about the same.
No. Ryan Fitzpatrick at one point. He's had a handful of times in his career. That's a guy who will throw for 350 if he wants to.
But my point is the perception, there's starters and there's backups. And starters, it's really hard to go and become a backup. A backup can kind of step in at some point and be a starter, but a backup can last a long time. Like Ty Detmer.
Yeah.
Ty Detmer was never looked at as a starter in the NFL.
Even with a...
And played 15 years.
Right, even with a handful of starts... Everybody looked at him like the career backup guy. So
Journeyman is the term.
Sam Darnold is on this cusp of, he says that he could still be the guy, one of the best in the league. I'm always like, are you really? Is that a thing? But he says he could still be there. So he's recognizing, obviously, that he's not there. But he says he could still be one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Does that happen where somebody, I can't think of instances where guys had fallen off totally and then just suddenly became
I'll give you a guy.
Give me a guy.
I'll give you a guy. Long, long time ago.
Oh, boy.
Jim Plunkett.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Jim Plunkett was a guy. He was first pick in the draft, I believe. Heisman Trophy winner from Stanford. Went to New England.
Right.
Was a terrible place. Like, he was in about as bad a place as you could possibly
That was
be.
Getting into a bad situation. Bad situation for him.
Yeah. And he got with the Raiders, which was really the perfect place for him. And it's almost one of those situations where there are other people that kind of take they suck all the air out of the room. They take the attention away from you. Because that's kind of what Sam Darnold needs. He needs to be on a really good team. I'll give you another guy, Brad Johnson. Brad Johnson was a guy, and he actually didn't start out as a guy. He kind of worked his way up the ladder. But this was a guy who ended up winning a Super Bowl and having a really good career in the NFL. Not on a whole lot. I mean, he couldn't even beat out to be the starter at Florida State. You know, he was like, I don't even think he was drafted. And he's a guy that just kind of developed and
15-year career.
And had a really good career.
For Brad Johnson. And a Super Bowl winner. I mean, that year they won. The Buccaneers win the Super Bowl that year, and everybody's like, dang.
I'll give you another one who might be close to the most talented quarterback ever in the NFL.
Is it going to be Kurt Warner?
No.
Oh. Because that's a guy who was relegated to whatever status he was at. But again, very rare for somebody to go from. But it's easier for somebody to be working at a grocery store and then into the Arena League and then and then become a starter rather than getting drafted first and then falling off.
And going the other direction.
Huh.
Okay.
Interesting.
But I'll give you one who did. Okay? I'll give you one who did. And you know the funny thing is he went to the Jets to really revive his career. And that's Vinny Testaverde.
Oh, yeah.
Vinny played forever. And you talk about a guy that, like, he checked all the boxes. Like, when he came out in the NFL and at Tampa.
Yeah,
like,
everybody, that's the thing is that you played for a franchise like the Tampa Bay back then.
Yeah.
And, like, you were
Steve Young.
You were just wrapped into being kind of a loser.
Yeah.
And that's what
Steve DeBerg.
Yes. Yeah. The ever tanned Steve DeBerg. Yeah. So I look at those situations and go, Those guys were – you didn't know what their real talent was because they were on such a dumpster fire of a team, right?
Yeah.
And I, and there's it's not that the Carolina Panthers are a dumpster fire of a team, but like you were saying, there's just – it's milquetoast, right? You just right. That's a franchise right now. You don't look just at like, it and go, yeah. Man, I'm excited about that yeah. Carolina Panthers group.
What does Sam Darnold have around him that could really –
Christian McCaffrey, I mean, if he can stay healthy?
Who's like a China doll, you know? I mean, really, he's not a guy that – he's just not very durable. He's an amazing talent, but, you know, he's a guy that if I would just be really – because you can't count on it when a guy just misses a right. lot of time.
All right, let me bring something else up, but this is also in the quarterback game. Ryan Tannehill, who – a few weeks ago, got in trouble. I don't know how he got in trouble. I think it's stupid that people piled on this guy about saying he didn't need to be a mentor for Malik Willis, who's coming into Tennessee being the quarterback there. They drafted him and to be the second string to Ryan Tannehill, basically. And Ryan Tannehill does what a lot of starting quarterbacks do, and felt a little bit of that. Hey, man, I'm not here to be your mentor. I'm here to be the starting quarterback and get us wins. And this is what he's now had to turn this into. This is Ryan Tannehill walking back those initial comments now that they're all getting together, starting to do some voluntary workouts. They got him in front of a microphone again. Here's what he said.
I'm in no disrespect to Malik or anything close to that. We've been in constant communication since he was drafted, you know, through the madness that ensued after my last press conference. And, you know, over the last few weeks as he's been in the building and kind of getting to know each other. And he's a good person. He's a talented player. He's coming off a great college career. So, you know, we're happy to have him in the room. Really just kind of disappointed in how things got spun and twisted a little bit. You know, I pride myself on being a great teammate. I have my whole career.
Come on.
There's a lot going on
Why
here.
Why does he have to even do this fake apology thing and then go, well, the media twisted my words around?
Well, because they did. Okay, so let me just explain. This is good stuff because there's a lot here, okay? First of all, Ryan Tannehill, it's like, why is it a responsibility to be in constant communication with guys all the time?
Turns out we're friends. We're like best friends right now.
We've talked through this.
We're in constant communication.
It sounds so much like Aaron Rodgers when they drafted Jordan Love. Like, I don't have anything against Jordan Love. This isn't about Jordan Love. And so there really is something going on here between Ryan Tannehill and the Tennessee Titans.
Malik Willis.
It has none. Well, it does. Malik Willis is the pawn.
Right.
Okay? Malik Willis is
the collateral damage.
He's the guy that it's a very subtle warning. We're going to draft the guy. We're going to spend a draft pick. He may not be today, but eventually he could be the guy.
This is such garbage.
And so here's the message. This is the message. Ryan Tannehill, you're good enough to get us to the playoffs. We need more. Okay, and we're serious about it. If you're not going to give us more, we got so they're very subtly saying you got to pick your game up, and I guarantee you that what Ryan Tannehill either knows this consciously or subconsciously, like things aren't all warm and fuzzy in Tennessee.
No, for sure, but I think it's interesting. Well, okay, but here are the words that were apparently twisted from a few weeks ago.
In a quarterback room, in the same room, you know, we're competing against each other. We're you know, watching the same tape, we're doing the same drills. I don't think it's my job to mentor him, but you know, if he learns from me along the way, then that's a great thing.
Nobody twisted his words.
Very innocuous, though. It's not my job to do that. And he's saying nothing but the truth.
Right.
Nothing but the truth.
This is how you got treated by Dan Marino.
Anybody would say exactly the same thing. Okay. Again, the subtle pressure is. Hold on there, young Ryan Tannehill. You're not the anointed guy. Like, you've got to be better. And those are the messages. That's how teams communicate with players. Because now all of a sudden it's like, well, let's get the young kid in there. You know, if he's not performing well, let's just get the young kid in here. Now there's another part of this. From the organization, and I don't know that Mike Vrabel is a coach like this, but coaches will do this. They'll go because most coaches in the NFL, their interest is I want to coach for 15 years,
sure,
because then I get an amazing retirement, right? That's all that like all these assistant coaches and these weird hires and all this stuff. Get a job, keep a job for 15 years.
What's so special about the 15-year mark?
The 15-year mark gets you, like, the really good retirement.
Okay? Which is what? You don't have to worry about anything again?
No, it's an incredible retirement. If you don't get the 15 years, you don't. It's not...
Yeah, you don't get there. You're not vested.
No.
Yeah.
Well, I think you're vested at some point, but...
Right.
But that's like, you know, the golden goose is 15 years.
Okay. Like, so that's why you see all these guys hiring their buddies as the assistant offensive line coach, right. Things like that, just to kind of keep them in the league. Yeah.
So a way a coach can kind of extend his time at a place is bringing in a young quarterback and developing him. Because you're going to give – if they brought Malik Willis in, they would get 4 years. Like they may get another year out of Ryan Tannehill, but they're going to get 4 years once Malik Willis starts playing, if he starts playing early. So a lot's going on here outside of Ryan Tannehill's comments. And quite frankly, okay, fine, you need to make a statement. You really don't. I'm sure people were like, look, you don't want to lose the locker room. You want to have this appearance. Nothing's going to change for Ryan Tannehill, though.
I just love that he had to come out and have this kind of weird apology and go, hey, by the way, you know, we're trying to I have all the respect in the world for Malik Willis. It's like, why do we have to say this? And does Malik Willis care if he gets an apology? I hope not. I hope he's like, dude, I didn't care. Like, of course you're not here to mentor me. I've got to go out and work my butt off. Let's go.
I'm not convinced Malik Willis is an everyday guy in the NFL.
Well, you know what? Certainly not right now.
No.
But you've got to learn something. But again, Ryan Tannehill is also not a guy that people look at and go, man, he got to the top of the mountain. He's not there. It's not even just about winning Super Bowls. You don't look at Ryan Tannehill and go, that guy is an elite quarterback. He's getting paid like it, though. All right. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Got more to go here. We continue here on Unrivaled 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent. It was senseless. And I will never understand it. I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Some people think they're God. Go dig into how God did his deal. You may find out about a guy that a lot of things you don't want to know. We built him up to be the czar of football. Go dig into his past or anybody that's ever coached with him.
The Utah Utes headed to the Rose Bowl for the first time in program history. Emphatic champions of the Pac-12 as they hammer the Ducks again. It's the final
countdown. For BYU and all of its fans, it was Big 12 weekend. And after a 12-year wait, it's a big win for the Cougs over their in-state rivals. 10 is not coming.
Yes, the old countdown to the college football season. It's underway. 95 days to Utah State and UConn, 102 to BYU versus South Florida, and Utah versus Florida down to the Sunshine State. I forgot that Big 12 news rolled out that weekend again, BYU-Utah. Boy, what a W for Tom Holmoe.
You can hear
Tom
Greg Rebell's voice.
Oh, yeah.
They're not going to get 10. They're not.
You know what? I mean, I worked on that broadcast team for years, and
look, I've been on the losing side of that thing.
Yeah.
I know the passion in his voice.
Oh, yeah.
I know the triumph once you've felt defeat, and it's sweet. So I get it.
So Greg's funny because, I mean, I don't think I've met, and I think there are a lot of, I mean, you could say this, the exact same thing about David Locke probably, about Scotty G when he does his work, when he gets his stuff done for Utah State. When they do their boards and they get their stuff all together, Bill does the same thing. I mean, it's just it's an intensity that these play-by-play guys have.
Yeah.
And I've watched, and it's interesting because it'll be Greg will be really good about having a really neutral call on an opposing touchdown. I don't like when the play-by-play guys get all sad, you know, when like the other team scores. I like it to just be like, give me a good call. You know what I mean? And when they sound all pouty,
I like being a homer.
You know, but I
love it when I get to go on and be a homer.
So one of my favorite things that Greg would do was he'd be upset, give a massively neutral call, but he'd throw his pen. So he'd be like, if you listen closely to these broadcasts, and if it's a pick six, you'll hear that pen throw against the window. It hits the window right in front of you. You'll hear just a little click, and that's Greg giving a pro call on this play by play, but the pen being thrown.
I just throw my headset.
I know you, Scott was first year doing the analyst job up at Utah. That's like my favorite story. You throw your headset after something, and they're like, hey.
Well, it's the interception that bounced off.
Oh, the Pac-12 championship.
The Pac-12 championship.
And then like, they
there's
go.
There's the game right
and then
there.
And they're like, hey, Scott, we don't do that. It's like, these are expensive headsets. These are $500 a pop. We're not messing around with these things. It's coming out of your paycheck, dude.
Sometimes it's worth buying a new headset. That's all I got to say.
I love the passion, man. The countdown is continuing, though. We're almost 200 days, BYU and Utah kicking off their seasons, and Utah State versus UConn, 95 days away. Interesting list here that we saw, brought to you by the folks at Homie. Finally, the way real estate should be, full-service local agents. You will save thousands. Go to homie.com. Homie, a better way to buy or sell. This list is this is more of an indicator to me that people are bored, and so they just make a list, right? I mean,
it's a season for lists.
It is a season for lists, and I appreciate
it. It's a season for speculation.
It gives us something to talk about. Yeah. So when they roll out this story today that I saw, and I was like, how does this work? A list of coaches who are, you know, well, it's not even new coaches. It's just coaches who would be first-time national champion head coaches. Okay? So this list, as you go through it, it's not like ranked 1 to 30 or anything like that. It's just, and it's not even a very long list. But here are the names that are on the list: coaches that will win their first, that can win their first, the next first national title coach. Okay, so you think about all the guys who already have one under their belt. These are guys that are at programs that can get it done. And let me just start right out of the gate by saying,
well, they all can't. I can just tell you right now, they all can't
win a national championship. No.
Maybe, very few on this list.
Maybe actually. One or two on this list will do it.
Yeah.
Okay, here's the list. Let me start first down in my birth state. Steve Sarkisian and Texas. I can't tell you how far away they're
never long- say never, but never.
Yeah, I know. The Longhorns are so far from a national championship right now. Steve Sarkisian is a 4-7 season away from being escorted out of the building, probably. That's how quickly they pull the hook in Texas, right? They've done it.
I think in Texas, you have to have a big personality. You really need someone like an Urban Meyer or just a big name. There's a culture at Texas that it's just weird.
Right, the coach has to kind of transcend a little bit of that.
I mean, Lincoln Riley at Texas, of course, that would have been,
but it would have made
a
sense.
Death sentence.
Yeah,
but
it would have made sense, though.
It's a name like that.
So what about a guy like Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss? I mean, it's on the list.
Ole Miss is never going to win a national championship.
What?
No.
What about their powder blue outfits they have going on? Do you call them outfits?
Okay. Brian Kelly at LSU will win a national championship.
So he's
at
on
LSU.
The list.
Because he's at LSU. I mean, you can get athletes. You can win. People have won.
But he's also known as a winner, right? I mean, for as much as
he's been known as a winner. And, I mean, you look at Ed Orgeron and you look at Les Miles, won national championships at LSU.
And I don't think they have the coaching pedigree that Brian
Kelly They're not better than he is. He may be, in my opinion, he's at the top of the list.
Okay. Lincoln Riley's on the list for USC.
Believe it or not, here's the thing.
Uh-oh. You're going to have to say that this is probably right?
No. Lincoln Riley is the other guy on the list, in my mind.
Yeah.
And then kind of the list ends there.
Yeah.
I mean, unfortunately, it's the only problem with Lincoln Riley when he was at Oklahoma, and he probably had a better chance. I think USC could have a better chance of winning national championships than they could at Oklahoma. And maybe it's a 50-50.
Oklahoma, well, certainly going to the SEC, it's going to be that way.
Yeah.
They were in the college football playoff four out of the
right
last 6 years.
And,
so I think
they've had some pretty darn good teams at Oklahoma. The problem with Lincoln Riley, though, is he couldn't put a defense together at Oklahoma. And I'm not sure he's doing that or can do that. And, I mean, that's the knock on the guy.
He's kind of the Jim Fossil of USC.
Well,
as we were talking about Jim Fossil.
Well,
yesterday.
He's kind of the, you know, maybe it's the Pirate, Mike Leach. Offensive, you know.
But no one ever is going to give Mike Leach a shot at possibly winning a national title at Mississippi State.
But part of why he can win it is because the Pac-12 isn't this really deep, strong conference.
Well, then fine. Then so let's look at the other coaches that are on the list here. Mike Gundy out of Oklahoma State.
No.
And that's less about him not being a good coach and more just about the circumstances of Oklahoma State, right?
Well, I mean
Mike Gundy's a tremendous coach.
Here's the thing, okay? If there's only four teams right now, if you're just talking about the college football playoffs today, there's going to be a team from the SEC.
Or two.
There's going to be a team from the Big Ten. And there's going to be two teams fighting from three conferences. ACC, Big 12, and the Pac-12, right? And so...
But more often than not, there's going to be one of those slots filled by another SEC team.
Possibly.
That's what it's been.
Recently, definitely. So it's like one spot for three conferences. Now what's different in the Big 12 is the conference certainly got more winnable for more people because of Oklahoma and Texas leaving.
When they do, yeah.
When they do. And that presents a real opportunity for Oklahoma. So they could find a spot there. The thing you have to do, which the SEC does, is you've got to have a friendly schedule. You've got to have a friendly conference schedule, and you potentially could have that in the Big 12.
So this list is finished off. Let me just roll through the names here. And I think you should probably notice the names that aren't on this list. Dan Lanning from Oregon is thrown on there. This is a guy who just got to Oregon 2 seconds ago and has not been a head coach at this level. And then Marcus Freeman out of Notre Dame. This is a guy who's also never been a head coach. And certainly, I guess just because you're at Notre Dame, why is it that Oregon gets some weird nod? Why is it that USC and Oregon are there? Because noticeably absent from this list is the Pac-12 champion head coach Kyle Whittingham. And I don't know if maybe he just is on the list as a guy who is super solid and will never be the guy who takes a team to a national championship.
Well, you could see Oklahoma State for what I said. Because Oregon's a team that they have a national presence. USC is a power. Mm-hmm. LSU's, you know, Notre Dame is kind of the, you know, they're a power. The only team on there you kind of roll your eyes at is Ole Miss.
Ole Miss, yeah.
And what Lane Kiffin? I mean, what is he? He's Lane Kiffin. Could be the most overrated guy in all of America. I mean, seriously, what has he done anywhere? What did he do at Tennessee?
He turned things around at Ole Miss, and that's for sure.
Well, what? He's had one. Give him a couple of years, and they'll be
to
average.
Screw it up.
Just give him a couple. Yeah, they're not gonna blow it out of the water. And Texas is a program. I'm not sure Steve Sarkisian is the guy for, but Texas is certainly one of those programs. And Utah doesn't fit in any of that.
I think that the best coaches on this list are Brian Kelly, Mike Gundy, and then Lincoln Riley, probably. Lincoln Riley has a lot of experience under his belt as a head coach at a massive program. That's the only reason that I'd kind of – and then he's going to a massive program.
Yeah, and you don't know what Dan Lanning's going to be or Marcus Freeman. I mean, you know, you think of Dabo Sweeney, right? Mm-hmm. And he was an assistant under
Nick Saban.
Nick Saban for mm-hmm. a long time, and he learned how to coach, and now look at the success he's had at Clemson. Dan Lanning could be that young coach that you never know. He could or couldn't be, but he's certainly been
right. If we
had the pedigree to actually do it,
and I guess 10 or 12 years ago, if we'd have seen Clemson on the list, we'd go, "Where the heck is Clemson coming from?" Yeah. And maybe that's Ole Miss. Maybe that's Texas. Maybe that's the new version of Texas.
And maybe not.
It actually, I mean, honestly. And again, and I had somebody who goes, so would Kalani ever be on that list? And the answer is no.
No.
And it's because BYU has got a solid
It's BYU's
wall
fault.
Right. It's got a solid wall in front of them right now of getting into a new conference.
No. BYU's fault. The whole program, why it is now, it's all BYU's fault for winning a national championship.
Oh. So they made it difficult on themselves because
in 1984,
right,
when BYU
the big guys
won
couldn't have them come back again.
The blue bloods, the snobbery of college football said, we will never let that happen again. We will never let that happen again.
I like your victim mentality. I like where your head's at.
No, it's not a victim mentality.
Well, that's what fans do, though, right? Where they go,
no, it's just
it, you know why we can't get to a national champion, right? It's because nobody wants us to win.
Oh no, that's true. No, that's very true. I don't see that as a victim mentality. I see that as BYU played by the rules. They did what they were supposed to do. They went undefeated. They beat a Big Ten school in Michigan, and they won a national championship.
Right.
And they did everything right. And everyone said, "No, nah, well, we got to change it now. Because we just can't have a team like BYU win a national championship." Mm. I mean, really, that
your
was the
fault,
last
BYU.
Time.
But guess what? Now that they're in a P5 conference.
I'm not faulting
BYU
or anyone. I'm just saying college football just said it has to be a traditional program winning a national championship.
But see, they're
how
be
dare
in a
one of these
conference.
Other schools do that?
They're going to be in a P5 conference. It'll take 10 or 15 years. But why not be in that conversation in 10 years?
BYU and the Kalani will have as much chance of winning a national championship as Mike Gundy.
Hey, there you go. Put him
I mean,
on the
really.
List. But again, this isn't a list of the best coaches. This is almost just mostly a list of
big
programs,
right.
Minus Ole Miss. I think Lane Kiffin was thrown in there just to make everybody.
Well, everyone thinks he's the most ingenious, smartest.
They do?
Yes. People love Lane
Kiffin.
Lane Kiffin threw popcorn out at a press conference and just
right.
thought he was really clever.
But listen, Lane Kiffin and Steve Sarkisian both have been offensive coordinators, right? For
very similar type
for Nick Saban,
yeah.
And they've been kind of coined like flash in the pan geniuses, young dudes, right? I mean, I don't know. To me, those two guys don't belong in this list at all.
BYU has no idea what happened to them with the Big 12. When it was announced that Utah went to the Pac-12, my very first thought was Utah can now go to the Rose Bowl. Like it wasn't Utah was not allowed admittance to the dance.
Right. They had to backdoor it into the BCS bowls, and it was going to be, you know, one of these other bowls.
And they're never
kind of
right. And
not going to be the championship.
It's
game,
once in
close.
A blue moon. It's right. Every once in a while. But that changed, and that's changed for BYU. And they don't even know what's in store for them now.
If you win the Big 12, you're going to a New Year's Six game, and it's going to be one of these big bowls.
You win the Big 12, and you do it where you have an undefeated season.
Or even
you're
one
going
loss.
To the college football playoffs. With wow. one loss, you're probably going to the college football playoffs in the Big 12.
Give it a decade, right? Scott hopes that we do. Scott's like, you know I hate that. You know I don't like when we lower expectations for everybody. Right now, let's get in there.
I felt like BYU lowered its expectations when it went into independence.
For sure.
I think they should have owned
listen,
it. I don't think they did.
When you go into – I took a lot of – when we were talking to who was it that told us that a couple weeks ago? It was like, hey, BYU should go in and try to win this thing right off the bat. It was Pete Futak.
Yeah.
He goes, look, you got to go in and win this thing now. You know why? Because Texas and Oklahoma left.
Yeah.
You have no reason you shouldn't be on the same – really, how far – back behind Baylor or Oklahoma State, Texas Tech is BYU. Iowa State, they're not that far off.
They were pretty far behind Baylor last year. They were.
No, I am for sure.
Yeah.
Remember when you were talking about the trenches?
Yeah.
That's a struggle. Yeah. All right, we'll take the break here. We'll come back. Wrap it up this hour with our signature, what are the odds? We'll come back, have a market update for you. We'll jump right in. We'll get some What Are the Odds going. You can play right along with us. So stay right here with us on the Zone Sports Network. It's Unrivaled 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
What are the odds?
Okay, sir, the bet is to you.
All in, baby!
You'll know exactly. More or less. What's going to happen? This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. You heard the voice. What are the odds? One of our favorite games we play on an almost daily basis. It goes like this. And you can play right along. There's an at-home version. It's you just yelling in your car. We give you a scenario. You give us a 0 to 100% chance that thing will or will not happen. Bonus points if you can think of a jersey number that's associated with that person. I was told, Scott, you use the same numbers too much. And I said, okay, we'll mix it up.
Who, me?
No, just both of us. I think sometimes we'll lean too much on some of the same numbers.
Huh?
I'm just that's the feedback
is that
I got.
Constructive criticism?
Yeah, they're like, you have the same 12 numbers that you use. And I said, well, okay, I'll expand my horizons then.
Well, you get mad at me if I use different numbers. Like,
no,
I've never heard of that
it's
person.
It's not about, no, that's what it is when you're like, Hall of Fame left guard from the Green Bay Packers. But this isn't the 40s.
This is the Curly Lambeau era.
Yeah, see? I don't want that.
I do.
Plus, I'll just throw out a fake name and give you a number.
It's our history.
I know. You're good about being you're kind of the station historian. I get it. Scott's always like, you know, back when Jim Plunkett was throwing the football for the old Oakland Raiders.
What was Jim Plunkett's number?
Was he a 16?
16.
Yeah. See, sometimes I internalize those numbers. They just never leave. Yeah.
Harold Carmichael. What number was he?
I have no idea.
You don't know Harold
Carmichael? No, I don't
really?
Know his number.
Big old tall, 6'7". He was 17.
Okay. 17. That's a terrible number, by the way.
But that's the number he was.
But what was he?
He was a wide receiver for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay.
Wow. How dare you?
He's so mad about it. The Dow Jones up today 48 points, the NASDAQ down 270, and the S&P off 32 points. There's your market update brought to you by TriDayTrading.com. And what are the odds is brought to you by Sound Sleep Medical. Do you snore at night? Are you currently using a CPAP machine to treat that sleep apnea? Sound Sleep Medical can improve your life. SoundSleepMedical.com is the website. SoundSleepMedical.com. Scott, first one up here.
Talk to me. You know what I'm excited about?
What? Wait.
Top Gun Maverick.
Oh,
I don't know what
it
is. I just...
You know what? It's legitimately the first movie I want to see now after COVID.
Yeah. I think I would agree.
And when the...
Bet it will be so big.
The ads are
it just feels like it's
going to
be
because
big.
You saw they shot more footage for the Top Gun Maverick than they did in all three of the Lord of the Rings trilogy. That's a lot of footage. I mean, that's how insane... They shot this footage on all these on these warplanes. Awesome. I can't wait. And I'm not a huge like sequel, prequel kind of guy, bring back the resurrect the old franchise kind of thing. I don't even like Tom Cruise that much. But this is not Tom Cruise, this is Maverick. You know what I mean?
Right.
Jennifer Connelly's in the movie. I'm all over this thing. And it says on the commercials, you have to see this on a big screen, and I'm like, sold. I'm gonna be there.
Done.
So I'll do it. Let's see. You know what this is? Zone Sports Network party.
Oh.
Nate will pay for it, right? Let's get this thing going.
Let's do it.
I've already put it on the card right now. I'm getting
Let's
the B card out.
Do it.
Let's do it. Scott, what are the odds that there will be a first-time team in the college football playoff this year? A Utah, USC would be a first-time team. A Texas A&M could be in there. Jimbo Fisher, obviously, with a chip on his shoulder. Maybe an Oklahoma State or a Baylor in there. I'm trying to think of teams. I mean, why not an SEC team that you've never seen in there? Maybe this is the year Ole Miss gets in.
Or Kentucky. I mean, this could be Kentucky's
Vanderbilt.
Year. Well, Kentucky's got something going on.
Sure
Arkansas.
What is it that they have going on?
I don't know. They got something.
Yeah, they got
something going on. May not be related to football,
no,
but they got
something
going on. It's mostly
basketball. All right, so what are the odds a first-time team in the college football playoffs?
I think this is relatively high for this anyways. I'm going to say Jerry Kramer or – Jeff Harding's 64%. How's that for a different name?
That's good. That's really good.
I wouldn't be surprised to see Utah there. I wouldn't be surprised.
I'm going to go with a Sean Merriman 56%.
Sean Merriman. Wow, that's the old San Diego Chargers Sean Merriman.
Yeah, and I didn't want to do Junior Seau, I think we've used before.
He's 54.
He's 55.
Yeah, he's 55. Who is 54?
Brian Urlacher.
Yeah.
Maybe that's who you're thinking of.
Well, 56 is also LT.
Yeah, it is LT. Yeah. All right. Scott, what are the odds that the Suns end up re-signing their troubled youth, DeAndre Ayton. I like love that there's like a little bit of a riff right there. Maybe it'd work in the Jazz favor. Would you like to see DeAndre Ayton in a Jazz uniform? Would that be a good move? Maybe that's something we can ask Locke tomorrow.
I don't know.
Maybe he'll be sad about it.
I'll say it's Donovan Mitchell. Are we allowed to use his number?
Yeah, you can. Yeah,
no,
you can.
I'll say Willie Mays, 42%.
Oh, okay. Was Willie Mays 42? No, Willie Mays is 24, buddy.
No,
Jackie Robinson.
Jackie Robinson, 42. Sorry.
You had him inverted, those numbers. Let's go with a – I'm going to go with a – let's go with a Barry Sanders 20%. That's one you usually use. But I'll steal that one from you. Barry Sanders, 20% chance they
Billy resign. Sims was 22.
Oh.
20.
20 also.
20 as well.
I got it. Okay, final
Emmitt
one.
Smith was 22.
Final one, Scott. Throw one out to me, would you?
Will the NFL owners vote out Daniel Snyder?
Okay, what are the odds he...
He's the owner of the Commandos. Washington Commandos.
That name is an HR violation, and
no,
Dan
not.
Snyder is a walking HR
Commandos
violation.
Commandos is a respected like subculture of our of our armed forces.
Yes. Okay.
Commando stormed the beach.
You did. You know, I don't think so. Okay, so I'm going to say that they vote him out. He got to have 24, right? Isn't that what you said, Jer? I think that all these billionaires are feeling the pressure. And they're going to eat their own here. And Daniel Snyder is going to take his $3.5 billion or $4 billion and go home. I'm going to say it's a well, I got to get something in the – I'm going to go with a Jay Novacek, 84%. Remember Jay Novacek?
Jay Novacek.
Old Wyoming Cowboy. There you go.
Yeah.
There's my there's our what are the odds. So there you go. We'll take the break. That was a fun one today. The first time college football playoff team.
I think that's a real shot this year.
I know. I'm interested. Yeah. I'm so sick of seeing the same dadgum colors up there. I mean, how many shades of red do you need on there? I mean, no offense to Utah, because that'd be a first-time team for that. But, I mean, like, how many dadgum red teams? Crimson Tide and then a different color. I don't like that cherry apple or that.
Well,
that
Baylor's one of those teams. They're not crimson or red.
I know. They'll throw them in
there. Oh, you're talking about,
I'm saying
you're
the,
talking
ones
about
now.
The ones now.
I'm saying get rid of them.
You mean like Georgia, Alabama,
Clemson's
Ohio
an
State.
Ugly orange. Get it out of here. Let's go. All right. We'll take the break here. We'll come back. When we return, we've got more to chat about. We're going to speak with Scott Reese, Stanford Cardinal play-by-play on the radio, and we're going to get his thoughts on this Cardinal team. I mean, I'm interested to see what the feeling is around town about David Shaw and about Tanner McKee, that quarterback who could be that next guy to take that step there at Stanford. Man, they've got a lot behind him, and just we haven't seen enough out of Stanford. So we'll see what their play-by-play voice, Scott Reese, has to say about the Stanford Cardinal. More to go right here. Unrivaled continues, 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
Welcome back. It is another edition of Unrivaled right here, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. I don't have a political take on any of this, but I have kids that are – I have four kids in elementary school. So the shooting today in Uvalde, Texas, with at least 14 kids dead, are between the ages of 7 and 9 years old. And 14 kids, at least, that have been killed now in that shooting that was perpetrated today by an adult on kids. And it's just sad. I have, like, at some point, you have to numb yourself. You become numb, all of those things, to be able to get through it, right? And you and I were talking about it, and it's beyond awful. And there's this version of, like, protecting yourself where we just, like, go, I'm not talking about it. I'm not thinking about it. But I hope that we think a little bit about it and go, what are we doing?
Well, it's a terrible thing to have happen. Regardless of whether it's young kids, older, and it doesn't matter. But it's just especially hard and especially cowardly and especially infuriating when it's small children. And there's such an innocence there. And, you as a parent trust that your kids are going to be safe. Yeah. I mean, it's a tough thing to deal with. And
during the break, during one of the breaks, I think in the last hour, I saw my kids come home on the Ring doorbell, right? And they walked through.
Right.
And it's just, it's awful to have to contemplate this kind of stuff that we have to go through. And I'm like, I don't know. It's just, it's hard to talk about. It's hard to jump into. And it's not even our job. But we're also human, so I guess.
And your thoughts and your feelings and your hearts go out to these people, and regardless of whether we're talking about sports or whatever.
And we do. Just, I mean, we move forward and just talk about stuff, and there we are. And the world's a tough place. Man, it's tough to hear stories like that. All right, we're going to jump in. Another hour of the program. Hey, every time we start a new hour, we get to the cut. So that's where we're going to start things off. Right here, it's the cut on Unrivaled.
The unquestioned. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
The Cut, presented by University of Utah Health. At University of Utah Health, you get the same great care that the Jazz, RSL, and the Utah Trust. Visit uofuhealth.org. That's uofuhealth.org. Alex Curie here, former NFL quarterback Scott Mitchell. In front of me, as usual, Scott Reese, Stanford Cardinal play-by-play voice, joining us on the program. Scott, my heavens, Stanford is one of these places that you get extra crossover here because you have games that Utah plays Stanford, years that BYU now has been playing Stanford as well. And so we're glad to have you on the program. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, no problem. Although I got to say, if Stanford football is your top story of the hour, you guys must be having a slow sports day.
No, it's not about,
I'm happy to be here.
Now, listen, it's not Stanford football. It's having Scott Reese on the program. That's the top story.
Yes. Well, right? then it's a destitute sports day. But that's fine. It's all good.
Are you up for the challenge? No pressure here on you, but you better.
That remains to be seen.
Well, we need you to bring your A game.
You know how it is this time of year, between May and the end of July.
Yeah.
Here we are, right, in the world of sports.
Yes.
But, I mean, there always seems to be, some dumb list that we get mad about on a daily basis. And so I'd rather be chatting with you than kind of get a breakdown. Part of the deal is we want to kind of educate folks on the teams across the board that our local teams face. And of course, Stanford is one of those teams. And David Shaw is one of our favorite people by far that we chat with at Pac-12 Media Days every year. And that's a guy who's gone through he's run the gamut of success there at Stanford. Where do things stand right now with Coach Shaw and where the program is and what the feeling is around Coach David Shaw?
Well, I tell you, I think everybody, internally and externally is kind of in the same place in terms of the program needs to, get back to where it was prior to 3 or 4 years ago, right? I mean, the first 8 years under Coach Shaw were otherworldly, not just by Stanford standards, but, by college football standards. And, it's tailed off the last few years. Part of it's COVID, part of it's been a really bad run of injury luck. But that only goes so far, and, they're not about excuses, they're about figuring it out. And I will say, to Coach Shaw's credit, he has been extremely vocal since the end of last season about the soul-searching that has gone on and is going on behind closed doors to try and figure out how to get this ship right. They've got the pedigree, they've got the coaches, and they have the talent to be a winning football team. They've just got to figure out kind of what's gone wrong and how to fix it, and it's going to be interesting to see how all that plays out in the next coming months.
The Pac-12 is, kind of takes a bit of a hit as far as a lot of players from California leave and go to the Big Ten, they go to the SEC, and they're not staying home. And a lot of it's because there's no fans in the stands, that there's not the same passion, there's not the same excitement, there's not the same deep, fan involvement. I've been to games in Palo Alto, and it's a beautiful campus. It's an amazing stadium. And I'm just perplexed with all the things you've said. I mean, this is a program that's done well, and it just doesn't seem to have a lot of fans show up for the games. Why do you think that is?
It's a combination of factors. Part of it is the Bay Area is a pro sports market. You're competing with two Major League Baseball teams and, you know, until 2 years ago, two NFL teams and, you know, NHL and NBA, and you've got the full gamut of pro sports teams, and that is first and foremost here. The second problem from a Stanford standpoint is, you know, you're looking at a school that has an undergraduate a population of about 6,500. So
right.
It is a really small alumni base. And then you add to that that it's a school from which folks graduate and they go on to everywhere in the world, right? This
right.
is not a, you know, a local community type of school. So it's tough. You know, it's tough with a small alumni base that is so driven in all aspects of life, and that is not necessarily, you know, with college football first and foremost. This is not Tuscaloosa, right?
Right.
So, you know, you're dealing with a lot of external factors, and obviously in recent years when the team's not winning, that makes it, you know, that much worse. But they weren't selling out the stadium when Andrew Luck was here,
right,
you
right.
know, which is just yeah. it's incredible to me because you had an absolute top-notch product. You had a generational talent at quarterback. You have an unbelievable venue. I mean, you know, college football Saturday in Northern California, you know, when it's October and it's, you know, 68 degrees and perfect. It just, you know, you figure where would you rather be? But it's always been an uphill climb when it comes to Stanford and getting fans in the seats.
Can you get those old Raiders fans? Can you now that the
convert
Raiders
those
are gone, maybe?
It's a little bit of a different cross section of a fan base, right? I
mean, yeah, a little bit. Plus, it's the East Bay, so they're all going to Cal.
Oh yeah, yeah. Of course. So one of the things that we've kind of watched during all this is that a really good quarterback, or at least, you know, on paper, you see a guy like Tanner McKee and you go, man, this guy is supposed to really turn things around, maybe be that next Andrew Luck again, and he's that highly touted quarterback, and he certainly is talented. Where does he stand right now in his development, and how do you rate him so far, and how are they working him into everything that they're doing?
Yeah, and you know, Tanner McKee, look, it's fairly cliche to go to make the point that, you know, Stanford will be as good as the quarterback, you know, as go as far as the quarterback takes them. But with Tanner, there's so much going on here. You know, first of all, as you guys know, he went on a 2-year mission. So he is, you know, athletically, he's entering his third year. I mean, he's got 3 years of eligibility left because of COVID. But academically, he's a senior, right? And biologically, he's, what, 21, 22? I mean, so this is an older player who still has not had a lot of time on the college football field, right? It was the mission, it was COVID, and it was the red shirt, and, you know, last year he was hurt for several games, and so what we saw last year in a limited sample size was a guy whose upside is unlimited. Upside is first-round NFL draft pick. And to be honest, the first 3 or 4 games last year were kind of mind-blowing. You're like, wow, man, this kid lives up to the hype, and he's going to be our next, you know, top, you know, Davis Mills a couple of years ago was almost that level in terms of the first-round pedigree, and this kid looks like he could be even better. But then he struggled in the second half of the season. So now it comes back to, okay, you know, where's the development, which is the question you guys are asking. Obviously, I can't answer that now mid-stride in June. But I can tell you they know where he needs to improve. He knows where he needs to improve. He's got to get better in terms of pocket poise. I mean, Scott, you know this. He's got to make better decisions when under pressure, and he was under a lot of pressure last year. The raw, the measurables are all off the charts, right? Arm strength, smarts, you know, he's got it all. So if he puts it all together this year, we could be looking at something special, and it's going to be exciting to see how it plays out when we get to September.
Yeah, a lot of people think he might be the first quarterback taken next year. A lot of people are real high on him. Gabe Reed, of course, a Utah kid who has now left Stanford and has joined his brother at Utah. What's the transfer portal been like as far as additions and subtractions? Where is Stanford on all of that this year?
I'm sorry. Are there additions? I thought the transfer portal was only subtractions.
So there's no additions then.
I'm confused. So this is a Stanford problem. You know, Stanford and the academic requirements. It is almost impossible to get into Stanford as a transfer. We have a kid coming in named Patrick Fields from Oklahoma, who was an all Big 12 safety, who is coming in this year as a graduate transfer. But he applied to the school as a grad student, got accepted as a grad student, and then notified Coach Shaw and said, hey, listen, I'm going to be there. Would you like me to play football? And that's how we got our all Big 12 safety, because he was admitted. As my recollection, he is the second graduate transfer that we have had in in the last at least 10 to 12 years, and maybe before that. Brendan Scarlett was the first, right? I mean, that's
wow.
And undergrad transfers harder to get in than graduate transfers.
Right.
So that pretty much tells the story. The transfer portal is an absolute, I don't want to say absolute, but almost absolute one-way street when it comes to Stanford. And for football and for basketball, this is the problem in this day and age where kids are, switching schools on a whim left and right, and you lose a bunch of guys. It's okay. We'll get five new dudes, out of the portal, and we can't do it.
Right.
So it's a huge it's a deal. I mean, it's a limiting factor for sure, and that is why recruiting is so critical for Stanford, because they're doing it the old-fashioned way. It's recruiting freshmen and developing freshmen and hoping that you can build your program that way.
That's interesting.
Well, how many guys leave though? Have you had a lot of guys leave?
The numbers. It depends on how you look at it. If you ask how many guys have transferred over the last few years, I mean, it's been maybe double digits every year. But most of those guys have their degrees, and once they have the Stanford degree,
right,
then it's okay. Maybe I was a part-time player here; I can go somewhere else and start. As you guys are aware, there's any number of reasons guys might think, well, the grass is greener, I want to go try something else. But I would say the last 3 years, we've probably had on average 8 to 10 guys leave through the portal and nobody come in. I mean, this is the Patrick's the first person we've had come in through the portal in that stretch.
Well, I mean, Gabe Reed going to Utah.
Yeah. Houston, and there's a perfect example. Yeah.
Houston Haimuli going to BYU. I think that, they're and they have these family ties here and the local tie. And so some of these guys, they go, hey, look, BYU's a tough gate to academically, and of course, and with the honor code stuff as well. I thought that BYU had it hard when the description of Stanford. You go, I mean, it is one thing to have super high academic standards, but when a school really goes, no, really, that's the thing that we're here for. That's the result. And so now you look at it and you go, holy cow, David Shaw and his staff. I mean, you can't change the way that you do things because it's like, this is the only way we've been able to build. And so that even playing field has totally changed for Stanford. I've never thought about it. I didn't know it was as dire of a situation when it comes to the transfer portal. I mean, you have the ability to be able to pull in some of the best academic athletes across the country, and yet you cannot bring anybody else over like everybody else is. Like, if people are just adding people left and right and going, look at this former 4-star guy, look at this former 5-star guy, and Stanford cannot participate in that. I had no clue it was that tough.
Yeah, no, it is. I keep using the term near impossible, and that is, it is literal. It's not impossible, but it's pretty darn close, and it is a massive relative disadvantage when you're talking about, reloading from year to year. And I think, that story hasn't been told as much because we're sort of in the infancy of this, transfer portal going crazy, right? It's just been the last couple of years where the floodgates have really opened up, and so now, every year that passes, you start to see this come to fruition. And the other tentacle of this is NIL, right? I mean, some schools, the talk about the floodgates open, right? I mean, there are no guardrails right now, it would seem. And so, you got certain schools and certainly other parts of the country where it's pay for play, even though that's technically illegal. That's what we got now, right? Joe's auto body's got $500,000 if you want to come play football at, X university. And that's just never.
Well, that's Alabama.
Oh, I thought he was saying, Stanford's got an auto body shop. That's
are there no NIL opportunities there then? Is that what you're saying? Or?
There are. And it's funny because they are not well publicized. I have heard of specific examples of student athlete. Oh, this person has a deal. This person has an NIL deal, but we don't know much about it. What we do know is that there's a lot of sort of internal hand wringing within the university. And by this, I don't mean the athletic department. I mean the university.
Do they not like that look then? Is it that where they're trying to avoid that kind of a look overall?
Completely. The mantra has always kind of been, unofficially, like, the day we start paying athletes, we're done, we're out, right? And, again, it's one thing to say that. It's another thing to back it up and to actually remove yourself. But, I think we're coming up in a period of time, and this is not years. This is over, months, where I think, the folks inside the university are going to have to, they're taking a good hard look and deciding what are we okay with. And, because look, you could there are a million things you could do. I mean, Stanford has Silicon Valley. I mean, there's so many resources at their disposal if they really wanted to go there in terms of enticing NIL opportunities and getting kids to come. But right now, it's very low-key. It's very individualized. And I think, like I said, there's probably a lot of really interesting discussions going on behind closed doors.
As we speak with Scott Reese here, play-by-play voice of Stanford, the schedule itself, the actual football season that's to be played ahead, as usual, very difficult slate for Stanford, the usual Pac-12 deal, but right out of the gate after they take on an FCS opponent in Colgate, then they have USC, that's week two, and then go through that full slate, Notre Dame jammed in the middle of all that, BYU at the very tail end. The last three games of the season, Utah, Cal, BYU. Where do you think things stack up for Stanford this year going into to another year of a very hard schedule?
Yeah, I mean, it's an annual thing. I mean, you know, when you start with Notre Dame, right, I mean, when that's one of your annual non-conference games, obviously, you know, that's going to raise the strength of schedule in and of itself. You add to it that this is an anomaly. Having Colgate on the schedule is very much an anomaly because usually the third game is like Kansas State or Northwestern or some Wake Forest or somebody of that. Last year was Vanderbilt. So, you know, it's usually three power conference schools. So there just are no breaks. We're used to it. Getting SC at the start of the season is almost an annual deal. So we're used to that. Frankly, I'd much rather play SC in September this year than November, you know, given all the change and the turnover, new coach and everything else. So I'll take that. I mean, it's a gauntlet. It always is. Of course, how good is the Pac-12 going to be this year? You know, that's certainly up for debate. I would argue this is the wrong year to be playing Utah. You know, I wouldn't mind if you're talking about, you know, getting a break. I would probably have preferred the Colorado-Arizona portion that we get every other year. As you know, this year it's Utah-ASU, so, you know, it is what it is. But I will say I've never been to Provo, so I'm excited to get BYU. That's super cool for me.
As we go through things here, Utah and BYU both in that three-week span get to take on Stanford. Looking forward to both of those games. Scott Reese, play-by-play voice of the Stanford Cardinal, joining us here on the program. Scott, we'll chat with you as we get closer to those two games this year.
Yep, sounds good. All right, guys.
Man. Thanks for being with us. All right, we're going to take the break here. We'll come back. More to go here on the program when we continue. But we just got tons of stuff on the show here.
You know, there was some really stuff, really interesting stuff just about the fan base, and you know, I didn't really think about the student population, right?
That it's what a freaking challenge!
It's brutal. I mean, they may have the hardest go of it, maybe of anyone in college football.
I immediately went, yeah. Oh boy, like you know, when we're asking about NIL stuff last year at Pac-12 Media Day when it had just been, you know, thrown at us, right? When we're kind of just going, and you're asking David Shaw. What do you think about NIL? He's like, well, we'll just take it one day at a time. We'll figure out how we're going to do it. But when the university goes, look, we have – again, I think about BYU and the tough go they have at bringing guys here, and it is nothing compared to what they're going through at Stanford. They've had over a dozen years, two grad transfers, Scott.
But typically when you go to Stanford, right, I was recruited by Stanford, and I was like – why wouldn't you want to come here? I mean, it's a beautiful setting, an amazing education. You know, you have just tremendous opportunities. Even if you just got the education, you didn't even get to play sports. A great campus, you know, but having a small student body that's a challenging thing.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. We got more to talk about with this and much more on the program. So stay right here with us when we return. Right around the corner after this break, we've got a little discussion to have as well. We're going to chat with Dave McCann, one of our colleagues over at KSL Television, now at BYU TV and a Deseret News contributor. They're starting up a new show for BYU fans. We're going to chat with him about some of the things that BYU is going through, getting ready for this summer of football. Right around the corner, Dave McCann joins us. It's 97.5 1280 The Zone, The Zone Sports Network.
Your home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies.
Y'all ready?
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, all right?
On 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. It is Unrivaled 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network powered by KSL Sports. Just had a conversation with Scott Reese. He's the Stanford play-by-play voice. And then Scott and I went into this full, like, feel sorry for Stanford mode during the break.
It's
I cannot believe it.
Well, it's hard to begin with, right?
We already knew it was hard to get in.
Academic challenges, yeah. But now...
And that's never something that they compromise either. Like, they're never going to go, well, we're just going to let this handful of guys in.
They kind of do.
But it's different because it's not...
If there's someone they really like,
so the model in,
they'll work
in the,
with them.
There's a model in the Ivy Leagues. Is that how they were recruiting you?
Yeah.
But again... But when Scott Reese just said that they've had two grad transfers in the last 10 to 12 years, and now with the transfer portal, it's been a one-way street. Like, they just don't get other people coming in. He said, And then undergrad transfers that come in, it's even fewer and further between. So, I mean, David Shaw has got an uphill battle, and don't be surprised if Stanford falls off. And they had one of the better recruiting classes in the Pac-12 last year. They better, because otherwise it's coitons for these guys, because it is so difficult to get guys to come in. The transfer portal is a two-way street for every other school, even BYU, which is a tough place to get in academically.
And you've seen a lot of places like Oregon State really start to turn things around. I wouldn't be surprised to see Arizona start to turn things around
right.
a little bit, because
they have that advantage.
You're getting players, you kind of have an idea of what they're capable of, you know. And when you recruit guys, you hope they turn out, and a lot of times they don't. So,
Joining us on the program right now, Dave McCann from BYU TV, Deseret News contributor as well, and longtime friend of the show, and getting ready for a new foray into a different way of doing things. He's always been a Twitch streamer, but now it's really official. Dave McCann and Blaine Fowler every day. You can hear these guys. You can watch these, or not every day. Every Tuesday, they'll be live streaming. They're wise guys. Am I getting this all right here? I'm just going off the promos I've seen, Dave. So
you're doing awesome. I just keep going.
What the heck are you guys? What the heck are you and Blaine doing? I mean, it's not enough. We got to see you guys on TV all the time, calling games on basketball and football side of things. So now we got to see your mugs talking about BYU year round. What's up, man?
Yeah, here's what we're going to do. People have kind of asked us for a long time, why don't we do something like this? Because we've been covering BYU together for the most part of 31 years. And so we thought, let's get everyone together and try and create the largest gathering community of BYU sports fans in the world for a live stream event each Tuesday night from 6 to 8 at at ysguys.com. And we're through Twitch, so you got to go to Twitch. You can go to the ysguys.com and watch the show and all that stuff to interact with us, which is what we really want people to do, to ask questions and this and that, give their own opinions, which people love to do, as you know, as why you have this show. But to interact with us, and we'll just spend 2 hours together doing it each Tuesday. And then as we get – we want to start now so that we're at optimum speed heading into the Big 12 in 16 months, and so this is the time to strike. And Alex, we've been on the road with the Cougs, and people line up to talk to guys like us, not because we're great, but because we're a connection to what they love, and this is a way to kind of facilitate that for folks all around the world to chime in and ask us what's up with the quarterback, with the schedule, with why Scott Mitchell didn't go to BYU and Ty Detmer did. Just things like that everyone's talking about all the time.
Well, we're
going to tackle it tonight.
There's a story. Naoma Diamond, who's from Springville, massive, massive BYU fan, was on a cruise with Lavelle Edwards. And so she knew me, and she actually used to play, I don't know, women play bunco or some kind of card, something.
Bridge. It's like a bridge night.
So my mom knew her very well. And she would not let. She goes, "How in the world did you let Scott Mitchell get away? How come he didn't go?" And she just kept. And he finally just said, "Here's a sucker. I'm just really sorry." And that kind of ended the whole conversation. He just got so tired.
You're stuck
of
on a boat.
Question.
You're stuck on a boat with
right.
Lavelle. You're going to ask him the tough questions. Well,
Ty Detmer told me. Ty told me when I talked to him a few days ago that I told him I was going to talk to Scott, and he said, let Scott know he owes me about 200 yards, because if that game would have been able to be a little closer, he would have stayed in the game and played longer.
But Scott always tells him that he owes
that on to Scott.
Scott always tells him when he sees him that
played,
he owes him
would have lost.
Whenever he sees Ty, he goes, "You owe me a Heisman Trophy, because if I would have gone to BYU, you wouldn't have won it." So there's always
I just asked for like maybe a weekend, you know, visitation, or maybe you could send me a picture.
Joint
of it
custody of the Heisman. Yeah, it's good.
As a go between, I'll see.
Just if you can work that out.
See if you can work that.
No, you can just. I tell Scott all the time. I go, if you go down to BYU, you can stare at that Heisman all you want in the, by the Legends Grill there. They got all the. They
you
got all the trophies.
Take a picture with it.
Yeah,
I'll even
not?
Come down and have lunch with you.
Yes.
Next to it.
Why not?
So Wise Guys, but, is this like? Is it Wise as in
why?
BYU? I know
it's all of it.
I know, but is it also? Are you guys wise as in wisdom? You're going to impart your wisdom with people, or is it like a wise guy kind of? Like funny, are you guys going to be entertaining?
They always are.
What's
it's an all encompassing? You just capture the entire show. It's an all encompassing thing where some people, like my mom, will think we're smart, and other people might think we're smart. You know what,
Alex.
And and then witty and funny. And we'll have all the big stars on, and Ty and Mark Wilson and those guys as we get close to football. But it's really an opportunity for fans outside of Utah and in Utah to just have an outlet to go where they can get with other fans and kind of like how they watch games anymore, how they play video games everywhere. Everyone interacts with everybody while they're doing something. And this is an opportunity for BYU fans to interact with each other and with us. And then with the guests we'll bring on from time to time. But, we just thought it was the time. It was the time heading into the Big 12 or, as Utah experience going into the Pac-12, the water raises all the boats, and BYU fandom is going to go to a different place as the Big 12 arrives, and we want to make sure that, we're riding the wave with them, and I think this is an opportunity. And also in all those markets where BYU will play Big 12 teams, to come to us in the week that they're playing those teams, and, it's just – it's just about getting the word out, but before you can get the word out, you have to be on. And so tonight's the big event for us because we're starting it and not looking back. And, Blaine, 2 hours, you can't contain Blaine to 2 hours.
No.
It might go deep into the night. It's just, but it's fun and kind of like what you guys do with your show, although it's tough because people are driving mostly when I'm listening to your show, I'm driving. At night, 6 to 8, Mountain time, and then folks are at home and they're on their computers, and we want to encourage them to kind of dial in with us. And I know it's May, but we got all summer to talk about stuff, and then the games begin for real. And I was listening to you guys
June.
Coming in.
I call it almost June, yeah.
Almost June. We're hoping that Stanford gets things turned around after Thanksgiving. That would be a great time for them to figure things out and move forward, because the Cougars will be down there for a Thanksgiving weekend game.
Yeah, when we were just chatting with Scott Reese, I think we had our minds blown a little bit by how few the transfer portal just does not work for them. Like, it just isn't, they don't get any transfers because they don't get in. The academic standards are that high. They've had a couple of grad transfers over the last dozen years, and it's even harder as an undergraduate, but they recruit so well because it's Stanford. And so I think we look at BYU a lot of times, Dave, and we go, man, that's a tough sell because academically it's tough to get in. And then, of course, the honor code portion of it is a tough sell for people who might not even be familiar with BYU. And yet, Kalani and his guys are able to bring in a lot of people, even some from Stanford, right? I mean, to me, it's fascinating because Stanford's just like, nah, we can't get it. And then BYU's going, let's figure out a way to be able to make sure that we can get guys coming in.
I think it's a challenge that we've seen with Mark Pope and the players that have come in to visit that haven't ended up committing here in the portal for a one season or a two season, because you're right. It's the academic standards. It's the honor code. It's a different world. And recruiting a kid to that out of the portal where they're just looking to come and play is so much different than recruiting a kid when he's 14 and 15 and 16, where by the time he shows up at campus, he knows all about the culture. And so we're seeing guys come in, have great visits. I led a kid through on a tour of BYU TV a couple of weeks ago, and a big kid, he had a great time. Whether he commits to BYU or not is is then he goes to SMU or another school, and they roll out, well, here's what we got, and you can do what you want on the weekends. You know, you can. It's different to get a kid from the portal for basketball, I believe, at BYU or clearly Stanford. Football is a little bit different because, you know, they're coming for 12 games and for the most part, and grad students are preferred, certainly by BYU in that setting. But we've seen that. It's not for everybody, and some of these guys haven't thought about BYU till last week, and now they're here going, what?
Huh.
Honor code and all this stuff?
It's a little much.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot to ask, for sure, for a one-timer.
You mentioned earlier about, you know, getting ready and preparing to go into the Big 12. Alex and I were talking about earlier on our program, and when Utah was admitted into the Pac-12, the first thought I had was, like, Utah, if they win the Pac-12, will go to the Rose Bowl, and that's something you could never say in the past, and it was really a. Well, it was like almost an aha moment, and you look at BYU and entering the Big 12, and it's now you have a seat at the dance. You're not on the outside looking in. You're not the stepchild, the program, and it was a really cool moment when I realized that. I wonder, do people at BYU really grasp how significant this will change the whole entire sports program at BYU?
I don't think so. I don't think there's a way you can simulate it. The revenue that will come is so different from the revenue they've been operating with. And for boosters, they donate this, they're gonna be asked to donate a little bit more. That regular season ticket holders can end up paying a little more because everything's going up because everything's bigger, and there's some negative to that. But BYU's had a couple of aha moments that I think have tempered it a little bit. That national championship, the Heisman Trophy, and some of those things have given them a taste of, oh, we can compete with those guys, even though, you know, our 84 schedule wasn't against those guys. Tide's season was against a couple of those guys, but not the whole season and that. But I think I think what BYU fans are, and there's going to be a little bit of an experience of, okay, this week we got Iowa State and then Kansas coming in. Who cares about either one of those two? There's no history together. They might as well be Liberty and another team that's never played in Provo. But they're league opponents, and so it's like, so they're going to have to train their mind a little bit that, you know what? Having Kansas here, who's been the doormat of the league for a long time, that needs to be considered a big game because they could beat you. And it's not Oklahoma and Texas every weekend like we were talking about a couple weeks ago. And I think they're going to have to switch back a little bit to the mind of a conference. I mean, even in right. Utah's Pac-12 run, they look for when's USC, when's UCLA, is Oregon coming, and then there's the others. So I think BYU fans are going to have to kind of go back to the days of we're playing nine teams in this league, and the back then it was, well, then who are we playing in the preseason that's big? Now the nine games are big, and then the preseason, with the exception of the Utah game, might not be as big.
As we look at the, you know, we're looking at the schedule, we're looking at all these teams that BYU is going to be facing this year, and it's going to be a tough schedule going into the Big 12. And, you know, I follow a lot of different – I follow a lot of racing, and one of the things they do is they go, if they're not having a good year, like with this particular race car, they go, well, we're going to develop next year's. Like, we're just going to go into start developing next year. This is a year that's really interesting for Kalani because there is a real possibility to be just launch themselves into the Big 12 in a crazy fashion. And so at what point do they start really thinking about, do they just say, hey, the way we develop ourselves for the Big 12 is having a big year in 2022?
I think so, because they have a P5 schedule, and that helps. And they've had one last year and the last few years. So the competition level is going to be similar. There just might not be a Southern Utah or Utah Tech in between later in the season. I think they're just going to line up and try to win all of these games because they feel like they're a P5 program already. They're just not getting P5 money, and they're not in P5 bowls. And and all of those things. And I think one thing that the P5 relationship with the Big 12 will do for BYU is it will settle them down. You don't have to be perfect. If Utah was an independent last year, their season would have been over by week four. You know, if BYU comes out of September 1-3 or 1-2, that's it for them.
Right.
You have to be perfect just to get to a good bowl. And Utah recovered, played great, went to the Rose Bowl. So I think conference, there's some upsides and maybe a downside here and there, but I think BYU will relax a little bit. Kalani will relax a little bit and go, you know what? If Texas comes here and wins, that's not the end of the world because Texas has to go there and there, and BYU has an opportunity to recover. Whereas you guys have pointed out, there's no recovery in independence.
No.
It's perfect or nothing. And if it's a loss here or a loss there, you're in the independence bowl.
Dave McCann, BYU TV. You can also read his byline at the Deseret News. I know tomorrow you've got a piece coming out on Gary Scheide, of course, one of the great quarterbacks in BYU history. And as Scott pointed out when we were talking pre-show, he goes, that's the guy who got it all kicked off for the BYU quarterbacks.
I think you guys will like that. And what's amazing, and just a little spoiler of what's amazing is in 72, Lavelle's first year, he goes down there and visits with Scheide at his high school in Antioch. And then Scheide comes up to him, and they shake hands, and Scheide said, "Coach, I appreciate you recruiting me, but I've never even heard of your school, and I'm not interested."
And I'm not interested.
And Lavelle left. Lavelle left, and Scheide left. And the rest you can read about tomorrow in the Deseret.
Wait,
News.
Did he end up going to BYU? Did he end up going to BYU?
That's what I told Lavelle. I said, "I've never heard of your school."
Yeah. The way that things happen sometimes, the way these kids make decisions and the weird turns that they take, pretty interesting. So, Dave,
what's
we appreciate
beautiful
it.
About life, what's great about life is it molds and reveals and shapes. And when you look back at your life, you can look back and go, you know what? I guess it was okay that I went and played quarterback at Utah. Yes. It's just the way life develops us into real human beings. And you can see the dots connected. And for Scott, it was that. For Ty, it was this. And you'll read about the dots that connected Gary tomorrow in the Deseret News. And I'll see you guys on ysguys.com. tonight, and we'll start a new primetime Tuesday tradition.
Well, my life changed forever when I met you, Dave. That's when it just
just say, he looks back on that moment. Yeah,
we'll debate whether that's for good or bad some other time when we have more time.
You got to give it a few years, and then we'll figure it out. All right, Dave, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you again, man. Good luck tonight. Have fun on that first broadcast.
Thanks for letting me come on. See you guys.
All right, there you go, Dave McCann. More to go. 97.5, 1280, The Zone, and The Zone Sports Network.
Your home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies.
Y'all ready?
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, all right?
On 97.5, 1280, The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
It's always good when we're about to go back on the air and Scott goes, "Don't you freaking mention that on the air either."
Moving on.
Fine. My lips are sealed, I guess. For now. Hey, by the way, Hans and Scotty are going to be at the New Ways Mattress in Ogden Friday. That's this Friday, noon to 3 for their show. New Ways will be paying all the sales tax with all the purchases over $599. New Ways Mattress, 3699 Washington Boulevard in Ogden. Go and check them out. Hans and Scotty going to be up there at the New Ways Mattress in Ogden on Friday. Another way too early updated top 25. I mean, this is good business by ESPN, right? They just release it every 5 seconds and go, "Hey, where's your team now?" And boy, we fall for it. Okay? And they can't, they're not as bold-faced as to go, "Hey, Alabama's number 3, right? They're not going to do that. They're going to keep Alabama number 1.
Right.
So it's Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia. You might have a Georgia and Ohio State kind of swap. Fine. Whatever.
Isn't this embarrassing, though? Can we just stop there for one second?
What do you mean it's embarrassing?
Why Because we like Alabama is at the top. It's just, can we get someone else? Please, please.
That's up to you guys. Hey, Utah, you're the closest hope we have here locally to break into that college football playoff. That's up to you, man. And you know what? A week and a half ago when they came out with one of these lists and Utah was number 4 on that list, we were like, you know, ESPN finally got it right. ESPN finally figured it out. And now Utah is not in the 4 spot. They've, in fact, moved down to number 6 in this poll. Now, it's not just that. And don't worry, because your Texas A&M Aggies stayed at 5. Here comes that sad, lamenting music. Guess who's at number 4 on ESPN's way too early list? Just, you know, relax a little bit. Just take this one in. They were 4-8 last year. They're number 4 in the poll this year. Your USC Trojans. There you go.
And I don't like you.
The Aggies at number 5 and your Utes at number 6. I mean, how on earth do they put a team that was 4-8 last year, lost Drake London, lost Chris Steele, they lose like 4 of their offensive linemen. They, Drake Jackson, they're one of their linebackers. Guys. Yes. Now
they got some folks. I mean,
they lost Dart too. They didn't put him on the list that they lost him.
Yeah, it's kind of like they're like glad they lost him. I mean, even though if he was still there, but Caleb Williams, they're pretty excited about him.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, and they got a couple of good wide receivers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so, they, you know, Travis Dye will be interesting to see if, you know, because, you know, to see if he can stay healthy.
But, you know,
Travis Dye is pretty good running
back. I like Travis Dye. I really like his game. And I don't like, or as just a point of fact, I just a little principle that I have usually, I don't like Oregon Ducks.
Right.
But Travis Dye was like, he's just a hard-nosed dude. So he goes in there. Jordan Addison, they added him out of Pitt. He's probably the top 3 wide receiver in the country.
Right.
So you've taken away Drake London and then added basically his replacement. Caleb Williams, better quarterback than they've had in a while. Travis Dye, I mean, they could be really, really good. But number 4, Scott, am I insane to think that this is a little bit too early, a little bit too much, a little bit too early?
I really don't. To me.
Oh, you cared last week when Utah was 4.
No. USC is getting a lot of love. Lot of love.
You think?
I do. And I think it's more hype than reality, but it's okay. If you're having all these national eyeballs on USC, the Pac-12 has 2 teams in the not so whatever early
four and
top
six.
10 rankings.
Well, where's the hold on, where are they?
Oregon's
Ducks?
At 16.
They're at 16. So there you go. You got 4 and 6 locked out from the Pac-12.
In some regards, I think that just bodes well for the Pac-12. And if you have, look, if you have a Utah and USC, and what if that becomes the conference championship as well? You know, here's Utah and USC. They're going to play in the regular season. It's going to be in Salt Lake. And then let's see where it, because now it continues. Like, it's not the South, the North, and all of that. So you could have them have a rematch later on in the year. So you're having all these early season conversations about 2 teams in the Pac-12 in the top 10 in the country. And then they play each other mid-October. And you just pray and hope that they're both still ranked in the top 10 at that time. Because it's just all that publicity, all that press. And then all of a sudden people go, whoa, wow, look at Utah beat them. And so that makes that win even more significant. And then you want to hope that USC still has a good season and they're still kind of right there with everything, because then you go and hopefully you play again in the Pac-12 championship game, because then that game is like, this is where the team to go to the college football playoffs.
Sure.
And the game has that national significance. And if USC is not in the conversation, if USC hasn't had a new coach, you know, a big name come into the program in Lincoln Riley, you're not having this conversation right now. You're not having this conversation So USC actually helps the conference, and it actually helps Utah gain more national recognition, provided that Utah's got to beat them.
Right.
But still, you know, they're in that conversation, and the conversation's actually happening.
Let's take a break here. We'll come back next hour. Got more to go on the program. When we continue, we've got ourselves the top college football playoff, or the top college football games for next season. It's not a shock what number one should be, but where are some of the local games here? Did they crack the top 100? Who goes through a list and finds 100 of these games? Which one? Heck, you know which ones are going to be the best. Well, we'll roll some of those out.
Well, because they just know.
They just know at this point. All right, we'll come back. More to go. It's Unrivaled, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and The Zone Sports Network.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is Unrivaled, 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network, powered by KSL Sports. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for hanging out. Great show so far. If you miss any portion of the show or any portion of The Zone Sports Network during the day, you can always go back, listen to any of the shows. Download the KSL Sports app. You can listen to all the hours there. You can also just go to the platform, KSLSports.com, and click on the shows and listen to them there. Or wherever podcasts are found, you can find Unrivaled right there as well. Scott Mitchell, former NFL quarterback in front of me. Scott, how you doing today, buddy? Everything good?
I'm doing outstanding,
Alex. We're mowing through this show, man. It's mowing. Been a good one. It's been a good one so far. So,
you like mowing the grass?
Yeah, actually, I do.
I'm a grass enjoyer mower.
Huh?
Yeah. I don't have grass.
I have a grass enjoy mower. What are we doing? I like to mow. I get it. But you know what?
I have no grass.
I haven't mowed the lawn in a while because I have a 13-year-old, and I think it's more important that he learns. And he's actually really good at it, and he makes the lines better than I do. And I like mowing the lawn, but he's really good at it. So, and I've gotten to the point now where I mowed the lawn because I'm the youngest in my family, and so I inherited mowing the lawn when I was like 10 or 11. And then I did it for all those years, and then I did it for all the, you know.
All those other years.
Yeah. So I've learned to enjoy it. Although I will say, we had a riding lawnmower when I was a kid, so I enjoyed doing it as a kid a lot more.
Well, of course.
Now, I could probably get I don't know if I can justify a riding lawnmower for the yard size. It's
Yeah, what's the cutoff?
You know, I don't know, because we have almost a half an acre, and it's long. It's long yardage. It's a long yard.
Long yardage?
Long yardage. Yeah. It's like a big golf course. No, but a half acre is also not that much. It's enough that it's about an hour of push mower.
There comes a point when you just go, I don't want to do that anymore.
I want to ride around.
I want to leave my house. I want to go away, and I don't want to have to worry about it.
You don't have a yard currently.
No.
That's amazing.
I have some rocks. They're decorative rocks.
They're decorative. Yeah. They sound like they're pet rocks.
I've grown rather attached to a few of them.
So I look forward to, I don't know, I've always loved the yard, but we're trying to figure out how to keep it semi-green this year because we've got the water restrictions going on, you know, which I'm okay with. I like the water restrictions. I want to see how my lawn does with just a couple days a week of watering. So any tips out there would be much appreciated. The Smart Rain guys gave me a bunch of tips when they were in here last time, so we're figuring it out. We're kicking off this portion of the show as we always do. It's the cut right here at the top of the hour. Let's do it.
The other question. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
Cut presented by University of Utah Health. At University of Utah Health, you get the same great care that the Jazz, RSL, and the Utah Trust. Visit uofuhealth.org for more information. uofuhealth.org. Yeah, I think Cooper makes better lines on the. I'm not as good as making the lines anymore.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know. I don't know if I just got lazy.
Bad vision?
I still got hurry? I still got those LASIK eyes, man. But I think I'm in a hurry. Yeah. He's taking his time. I'm
slow
just
down.
Let's get going here. Yeah, so an interesting list that's been released here by 24/7 Sports, which is the top 100 college football games of the upcoming season. Now, I saw one of these earlier in a graphic that I think had the top 10, and Utah was in, and it is on this list as well, it had two games in the top 10. No surprise that USC at Utah is going to be a big game. That's number three on the list
on
of
the
big
entire
games.
Season.
On
yeah.
the entire season across the world of college football, USC at Utah is number three on the list. And that is...
Okay, can I ask you a question, though?
Yeah.
Before... The Alabama-Texas A&M, that's the number one, like, in... That's the number one
yeah.
game.
It must have moved
but it,
up,
but
right?
is it the number one game because of Nick Saban and all,
Jimbo Fisher?
Because there's really the number one game in the country.
That's an interesting question because that has nothing to do
with
the
game.
Actual game.
Yeah. Like, it's not gonna affect the outcome. It's not going to do anything.
No. Listen, that's the old pro in you that goes, oh, we're just going to show up and play football, and the two coaches feuding doesn't have any difference. These kids wear their... Their coach's pride on their shoulders, I think, too.
No,
yes, they do. Yes, they freaking do.
No,
Alabama kids. Those Alabama kids are. These guys are dying to.
Alabama goes in and they go, look, we're better than you. They don't. It's not like we're playing for Nick Saban's pride.
No.
We have
to
defend our coach and his honor.
No, but the Texas A&M kids are playing for Jimbo Fisher.
Now the Texas A&M kids may be different.
Yeah, and part of it is because there's an insecurity thing with Aggies, right?
There really is.
And I mean, having grown up in that footprint, there was only one team that mattered growing up. And then there were the butt of the jokes, which were the Aggies, right? I mean, there were jokes growing up of people. There were groups of people, all the same jokes. And you know what's funny is the other places I've lived in the world. So in Argentina, they have jokes that they tell about Spaniards, right?
Right.
And you have the old Polish jokes that people used to tell, right?
Sure.
That were just like rubber stamped, like run of the mill jokes yes. about you fill yeah. in any group, right?
How do you change a light bulb?
Right.
How do
Northerners, yeah, Southerners. Sure. And in Texas, every butt of every joke are the Aggies.
So here's a crazy thing for you. Speaking of Texas A&M, I know where Baylor is. It's in Waco, right?
Yeah, you got it.
I know where Texas is. It's in Austin.
Yeah.
Right, I know where SMU is.
Sure, it's Dallas.
Right. I don't know where Texas A&M is. I seriously don't.
You know the name of the city?
No.
College Station.
Oh, yeah, College Station. Okay, I knew
now,
that.
Now, could you point it out on a map? If I gave you a blank Texas map, could you show me where College Station is?
I know where Waco is.
Not that far off.
Is it close to... I wouldn't
it's a
little
know bit closer to Houston.
I wouldn't know that.
Listen... You and most people, honestly, in Texas, people have a hard time kind of understanding exactly.
I was there this summer. Didn't realize 85 miles from where I grew up. I thought it was much farther away.
You thought it was further?
Mm-hmm.
Now, same way for me because I was like, oh, Texas A&M. Like, I never want to go down there.
See, I think if Texas A&M should be somewhere big. Is it big?
I mean, it's a college town.
Shouldn't it be
in the name of the city is
San
College
Antonio?
Station. But there's so many.
I mean, I know where UTEP is, right? I know where
out
El Paso is.
Out of the West Texas town of El Paso, I fell in love with a Mexican girl.
Anyways, I know where that is.
Yes, you do. That's probably easy to find on a map. There's a whole middle of Texas that people don't, that are like, what's going on here? But between the Metroplex and Houston, people can point those two out. And then Austin is like, well, I guess somewhere in the middle.
I know where Austin is.
I know because you'll point at the middle of the state and go, oh, that's
no,
where Austin
I won't.
Is.
I know where Austin is. I know where San Antonio is. I know where Houston is. I know where Dallas is.
I know where Lubbock is.
I do not.
I could not point out College Station very well on a map for you.
I know where Lubbock is.
Amarillo. I can point to Amarillo for you.
Oh, good old Amarillo.
We're just. Yeah, Abilene. I can tell you, too.
How about Tyler?
Tyler, Texas? Right on the edge there.
What's the one on the. Is it Killeen, Texas?
Yeah, it's down towards Waco.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's right there.
Yeah.
So, bottom line is this.
Chip on your shoulder,
A&M, and yeah. Alabama, that's the number one game. I don't know. I mean, it's a good question because...
Alabama-Texas is a good game.
Why is that a good game? Alabama-Texas is actually a worse game than Alabama-Texas
A&M right now. It's a precursor to SEC.
Yeah, I guess.
Is Steve Sarkisian, has he answered the bell? Has he grown up?
It's because it's a preview of what you're going to get in the SEC starting in 2025, right? That's really what it is.
Yeah, and USC at Utah, which is the number three game. That's pretty amazing.
USC and Utah is
number three.
But see, USC at Utah is based off of USC and Utah both, cross your fingers, hopefully both being undefeated at that point. That's an October 15th game, and
a lot can happen in the first 2 months.
If USC is 3-2, or 3-3 by the time they get to that game,
they start out the season and they're kind of
not the number three game of the season.
Yeah. This
list is based off of, because BYU at Oregon is the number 88 game on the list here. The Arkansas at BYU game is the furthest up the list that BYU is. Arkansas at BYU. And the only reason is because Arkansas had put together a really good season last year. BYU could be a really, really good team again this year, but who knows? But Arkansas at BYU doesn't have any draw to it except for that it's two teams who could be really, really good at that point. So it's a great football game.
Why is Utah versus Washington State
on the list at all?
On the list at all. And look, I'm a Utah guy. All you Utah fans listening, don't freak out. Why isn't BYU and Notre Dame not even on the top 100?
It's not on the top 100.
Not even on the top 100 games.
How is Utah at Washington State? Listen, Utah fans are going to be forgetful of that game.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to be like, oh, they're going up to Washington State.
That scares me though. It's one of those games.
Hey, honey, don't we have a birthday that weekend? Let's plan some stuff over that weekend, and then I'll just TiVo it and watch it late at night. That's that game, and it's on the top 100 list. BYU at Boise State is number 99. BYU and Notre Dame on a neutral site NFL field in Las Vegas
is not
on the list at all.
And it's not better than BYU Boise State.
Of course it is.
In Boise.
Arkansas at BYU is not as good as the BYU Notre Dame game, right?
No.
San Diego State at Utah is number 50. I mean, I'm sorry, but if you could see Scott's face right now, he's looking a little bit sideways at that game too. Utah at Florida should not be number 25; it should be number 10 because it's right out of the gate. The teams are not. They don't play each other ever, and there is already implications for both teams of postseason in game number one. So that Utah at Florida game should not be 25. It should be further up the list. And yeah, you're right. Alabama at Texas. The only reason that game is number two on the list is because those are the two biggest fan bases in college football across the land. And because you can tell fans, hey, Alabama at Texas is the number two game of the season so far this year. Oh, man, it's going to be amazing. Alabama is going to absolutely embarrass the Longhorns there in Austin. I guarantee it.
See, I think if you're a Utah fan, a big game for this season is going to UCLA. You know, is UCLA
right?
a paper champion? Because they just feel like it's like every year Chip Kelly's there, they just seem to get better and better, but they just never seem to break through. And is this that year where UCLA kind of breaks through?
San Diego State, a Mountain West team, no offense to the Mountain West, but San Diego State coming to Utah as the number 50 game of all of college football across the entire country, that's not even close to true. Settle down.
Watching San Diego State and Utah last year might have been the most boring game I think I've ever watched.
What are you talking about? You know why? Because you guys lost. That's why you're mad about it.
It was just
triple overtime.
Oh, my goodness.
Triple overtime.
The triple overtime, that was exciting.
That was exciting.
That was fun. Kind of.
Well, we got to see Cam Rising go in?
Yeah.
Come on. I just
changed the whole course. You know, that game is the
fifth most important game on Utah's schedule.
I remember Cam Rising coming out of the locker room, right? So I'm watching the sidelines. First guy out of the locker room, sprints out onto the field, and I'm like, he must be going in the game.
He didn't go until mid third quarter.
He didn't
right?
go in the game, and I think it was one of those things where that was just kind of.
Do you think they told him, like, hey, be aware here, kid?
No, I don't think they told him. I just think that's how he is.
Do you think he sensed it? Like,
no,
I could go in this game.
No, I just think I think it's like, you know how you just kind of you get a certain mindset, and the mindset just causes your actions to be a certain way. I think Cam Rising just said, I'm going to make the most of whatever situation I'm in. And I think he almost, you know, for the lack of a better term, just willed it into reality by just his mindset, the way he thought, the way he carried himself. And that moment just really stuck with me, that this kid, there's something different about what he's doing and how he thinks. And the game changed when he came in. You know, they should have put him in the game earlier.
All right, here's the deal. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. I get grumpy about lists like this because I just don't know who makes
so,
these lists.
So our list designed to make us grumpy?
Yeah.
I mean,
is that
the whole intention? Do you think they just knowingly say, what we do with this one. We're going to omit one, or we're going to put this
there's
one here.
There's a troll on Twitter.
Just watch these people freak out.
What is that one that just – it puts out lists, and it's like – it's the kind of thing where they go, top 50 party schools in the country, and they'll put BYU at 11 just to get you. Just to have people go, huh? What's going on here?
Well, there's a lot of parties at BYU.
Okay.
I mean, it's like pizza and, you know, ice cream.
When I explained
but when
to my,
you mix all those mixins in with that ice cream,
oof,
that's a party happening right there, buddy.
Look, you make fun, a party. But
I'm
I will say,
fun.
But I will say, in the bookstore, there is a milk and cookies shop.
Yeah,
but they got the root beer flavored milk, so watch out. Listen, I'm a BYU alum, and I will always defend BYU. I can't defend the milk and cookies store that much to people who aren't from here.
I think that's an amazing thing. Milk and cookies.
It's like, hey, you got finals coming up.
Are you going to have your milk and cookies tonight?
Probably expensive, too. Although I will say, I like milk and I like cookies.
Right. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. What do you want me to have in there? You know? It just is, you know, there's a look, and they're pulling it off. So there you go. We'll take the break.
Well, it got controversial when Diet Coke showed up at BYU.
Oh, my goodness. You should have seen the media people. That first year that Coke Zero was in the press box, we were down in those things, dude. Like, I mean, just.
Two-fisted Coke Zeros.
Dude, you want to see Dick Harmon bouncing off the wall? Boom. That's what happens. Let's go. All right. We'll take the break. We'll come back. More to go right here on Unrivaled. NFL Roundup right around the corner. Stay with us. It is 97.5 1280 The Zone, The Zone Sports Network.
Here we go.
Go get it.
Let's go.
That's it.
It's time for the Unrivaled NFL Roundup. Premium grade A NFL news from a former NFL quarterback. And the other guy on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, The Zone Sports Network, powered by KSL Sports. Thanks for being with us. Alex Curie here, Scott Mitchell over there. He's our NFL guy, so let's just jump into the NFL side of things here, Scott. Shall we? Let me see here. First of all, NFL Roundup. Hey, it's the Wasatch Front Kia Memorial Day tent sale going on this Thursday through Monday. All right? We're going to be there Thursday. So our show is going to be broadcasting live 3 to 6 at the Wasatch Front Key up there in Ogden off of Riverdale Road. Don't miss the all-new and redesigned 2023 Sportage, 0% for 72 months. And then when the tents go up, you know at Wasatch Front Kia, the prices go down. 770 West Riverdale Road in Ogden, Wasatch Front Kia. We'll see you there. Christian McCaffrey, you, Scott, mentioned about him being, what did you call him? A China doll. Easily broken.
Yeah.
Not reliable, but an insane talent.
Yes.
So don't worry, because the Carolina Panthers are going to hold him out of training camp altogether. Which you've always said, hey, look, no point. For a guy like him, for a veteran. But at the same time, like, being held out of training camp, don't you need to get some...
Training camp is an old myth.
What is it?
It's an old tradition in the NFL that's just a waste of time. It really is a waste of time. I mean, there's a certain aspect of it. Okay, fine.
Who does it benefit the most?
Let me just tell you. Let's just go down the history lesson here for a minute.
Okay.
Back in the day,
Oh, boy.
And this was like, we'll call it the 70s. Okay? NFL players had jobs in the offseason. Like playing in the NFL was kind of a side hustle.
So this is
Roger Staubach.
What was he?
He owned a real estate company.
Oh, that's right. He still does.
He was a commercial real estate maven, and he started back when he was playing.
That's funny. I thought that was something he did post his career.
No, it was these guys had to have a job.
This is like when what's the point guard? What's his name? J.J. Redick. Was saying the other day that Bob Cousy, right. Yeah, he did really well, but he was playing against plumbers and firefighters.
Right.
To an extent, that was true because they literally were doing those things on the side because being a pro didn't necessarily pay all
there
the
was
bills
no
for
money.
Everybody.
So players went to training camp. Training camp was to get you into shape. Training camp was like a good part of the summer.
Right.
Ken Anderson, who was one of my coaches when I was with the Cincinnati Bengals, he's a really good quarterback for the Bengals.
Right,
for
yeah,
years.
Yeah.
He goes, we would practice one play for like a day. like, because he goes, you just go, it's so long. And they'd have, you know, they'd have over 100 guys. And guys went to training camp to actually get into shape.
So you were
just doing a lot of exercising. You were actually,
right.
You know, you had like, I think they had like six preseason games. They had a lot of scrimmages against all the other teams.
And there's no such version of a guy being out of shape in the NFL now.
It's 365, 24/7, 365. Guys are working the training, the attention to their bodies is a year-round deal. Guys never get out of shape. There's like probably no one in this day and age.
Well, but you told me though that you'd have to come back and you'd lose all the weight in the off season so you could come back for training camp and be on weight and everything.
Yeah, I mean, so you worked out like you had to work out,
right?
Like so Christian McCaffrey's sitting out of training. Everyone should sit out of training camp. They should just end the whole thing.
Who's it for then? So not for anybody.
It's for nobody. It makes no sense.
What about the
rookies?
What are the new guys coming in?
There's
they want to run that one play for the day. Come on.
There's an acclimation process, right? So like coaches, you know, they just expect you to know everything. There's just not a lot of practice time. And the season is really long. They proved with COVID, not having any preseason games, not having any training camp, things went wonderfully. Have one game, have maybe two, maybe 3 weeks. Have 2 weeks of practice before you do your first game. Have a preseason game, and then have a weekly. That's a month. A month. You have plenty of time because these guys do not need that. You need just the timing of getting in a game. But it's a myth. It's a waste of time. Big waste of time.
I just, you know, is there any revenue that's earned off of training camp?
No.
No, there's not.
There were guys that would get
fired. They put the ads now on the jerseys, the little ads.
No. They guys would get fined in training camp and actually were working for free. Because you get a daily stipend.
What
and
would
it's
you
like
get
100,
fined?
It's like, I don't know, $400 a day or something like
for
that.
For sandwiches and.
I don't know. It's just that just was your pay
little
in,
of,
in the
little
preseason.
Bit of wham, little walking around money.
You didn't
but
walk around.
What would
around?
You get fined? Or why would you get
overweight,
fined?
Being late to a meeting?
Oh, boy.
You know what? I mean, just the regular fines. And guys would get fined.
So what would be the place? There's, so how is it that guys get into not football shape, but I mean, like, isn't there a place you need to actually run plays together and actually like?
That's what I was saying. So you have 2 weeks of practice, a preseason game,
and then get in the season,
and then you have. You have a week leading up to season. So three, four weeks, you're good to go. Easily good to go.
And that's enough.
More than enough.
So the training camp is really just like for you and I to be able to go.
It's an old NFL tradition.
I will say, when you watch training camp, like a video of, you know, some B-roll on ESPN of training camp or on the NFL Network, I don't care. Like, you see guys going half speed at stuff, or you see guys, you know, you see Russell Wilson wearing his red jersey.
Every guy that I knew
And I go, I don't really care.
Every guy that I knew, they are like, how do I get through? I just want to get through training camp. Like, let's just get to the games.
So it's brutal. Are they doing conditioning and stuff on you guys?
It's just boring.
Oh, it's boring. Okay.
Don't
worry, because Deebo Samuel is going to be sitting out of the 49ers OTAs too. That's the newest thing.
Yeah, OTAs, that's a whole nother conversation.
That's an even bigger joke?
Yes.
So according to you, show up for practice. Okay, 2 weeks. But they need to have time to be able to figure out who they're going to cut. Isn't that what training camp's for? They bring in 90 guys, and then they have to get it down to – no, they bring in like 100. They got to get it
only,
to –
no, they have 80.
They have 80 who show up. They got to get to 75.
53.
And then they – well, I know, but I'm saying they have these groups of cuts that they do. They do two different ones.
I can go in.
I love this. I can tell you right now who the 53 are.
and watch one practice.
And you know.
And you go, that guy's not going to –
really?
Oh, yeah.
Even on the long snappers?
Long snappers is different. There's only a long snapper. There's no, they don't bring two.
I know, but I'm saying which one do you have to cut between those two?
You don't cut a long snapper.
No, I'm saying, but there are two that came to training camp.
You don't have to.
You only invite one?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
You have a camp kicker,
right,
and a camp punter, because you don't want to wear out your kicker and your punter, because you can do that. You can overkick, yeah, and overpunt. So they bring in a guy, kind of like Tom Hackett, right? They bring in a guy for training camp,
right,
and they usually have two guys. And very rarely does the one guy beat out the other guy.
So Tom's got an uphill battle if they end up. Did we ever find out if the Canadian Football League figured out their strike? Here goes. That got Jeremy thinking, too. We haven't thought about the Canadian Football League until the last time we talked about it.
You never do. You think about it in November when
we have
the Grey Cup.
We have one friend right now who might be playing for the Canadian Football League at some point.
So, yeah. So you can tell easily. You can tell very easily that who's going to make it and who isn't. There might be five guys that you go, that's kind of tough.
Jeremy, what's the update? Give me an on-air update of the Canadian Football League strike. Are they still striking, or are we still?
There's an offer to the players, which they rejected 24 hours ago.
They're still striking?
Yep, they rejected the latest offer. Boy. So
this is not.
They don't want to go to training camp either. What do you think? Why do you think they're rejecting the offers? Look, come back to us in a week or two,
Canadian Football
League, we'll consider it.
We hardly knew ye. That thing's going to be defunct in 2 seconds. If you can't figure it out,
there's where the XFL slides right in.
Whoa, Scott Tyreek Hill says Tua. Sorry, I couldn't get through even this line. Tyreek Hill says Tua Tagovailoa throws one of the prettiest balls he's ever caught. See, Scott, you laugh because you, on the contrary, say
I was actually watching some highlight film.
Is it because he's left-handed and you don't want to give any sort of deference to somebody who's a lefty?
No, I don't.
You'd prefer for him to be better so you can go, look, left-handed quarterback.
No. And I'm now convinced that right and left-handed quarterbacks throw exactly the same.
Okay.
Well, I mean,
except for backward.
Within reason.
The ball spins opposite directions, Scott.
What I say, the best – now, Herman Moore, he will tell you, he says, I don't know what it was, but he says, once I got used to that left hand, I actually liked it better. This is going to take a little bit of getting used to, but you're going to like it in the end.
Well, that's Jerry Rice. I mean, he ended up going from one of the best right-handed quarterbacks ever to the best left-handed quarterback ever.
Yeah.
You don't want to say Steve Young's the best left-handed quarterback ever? He is, though, right?
Yeah. Why would he not be?
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Kenny the Snake Stabler is pretty good.
No.
I don't know. He was pretty good back in the day.
One of the prettiest balls I've ever seen thrown. Why do you have to say that? Tyreek Hill
did not have the prettiest pass.
No.
He was not Joe Montana throwing the football.
Okay, if there's a story written that says he throws one of the prettiest balls I've ever caught.
Look.
Then there's a problem because we weren't asking.
You don't understand why he's saying this.
Why is he saying it?
He wants the ball thrown to him. No receiver goes, man, I can't work with this guy. This is crappy.
You got an ugly ball.
Like the ball tumbles out.
Your ball is ugly.
Yeah, they're not going to say that.
I get it. So Tua Tagovailoa, one of the prettiest balls ever thrown, according to Tyreek Hill. That's actually good. I love that.
But it's not like Tyreek Hill has to go, will you please throw me the ball? The only person that's going to make Tua Tagovailoa look good this year is Tyreek Hill.
I would throw the ball to him
every play
when we were on the sidelines and the defense was on the field. Just so you get used to it.
Know.
Just like, hey, you need to understand. Right. Just throw me the ball.
You know
just keep throwing
you
me
know
the ball.
You know what's great about Tua? Barely ever has to throw it down the field, too.
Yeah.
Hey, man, it's that bubble screen again. All right. We're doing it. Will you take this thing 80 yards?
Yeah.
Make me look good. Let's go. All right, we'll take the break here. When we come back, it's our two-minute drill, one of our favorite things. We jam as many stories as we can at the very end of this hour, and it's the two-minute drills. That's all you need to know. Scott will explain it more in detail, though, when we come back. So stay with us. Unrivaled continues, 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
Attention. This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. Attention. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. It's Unrivaled. Scott, you didn't know this because you just went out and took a quick break.
Took a short walk.
Now, like, here's the thing is we're in these chairs for 180 minutes.
Okay.
And so, no, I'm trying to tell the people, you know that. You already know that.
Okay.
So I'm like, you know, there are potty breaks periodically.
Right. It's a long time to sit here.
Scott decided to get up with like a minute left of the break and just said, I'm out of here. You know, you just walked out and we were about to start things back up again. And you're like, anyway, see you later.
No, I wasn't.
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
Yeah. First of all, you waited a little bit longer. And then I don't know if we were mid-conversation. I didn't notice it either. But Jeremy goes, where's he going? I go, I'm assuming the bathroom. And he was like, well, we're kind of coming back here. I said, Scott Mitchell does what he wants. All right.
We did the NFL roundup.
We did.
And then you go, in our next segment, we're going to talk. We're
right,
gonna do
right. And then
we're going to do the two-minute drill.
But we chatted for a minute, and then you were like, all right, anyway, I'll be back.
No. And then you started doing your thing, and so I went off to the bathroom.
What was my thing?
Well, you
my thing was I was sitting here.
Closing out the segment.
No, you did not stand up while I was closing out. I'm just saying. All right. No, I'm saying the show waits for you, buddy.
Oh.
That's what we did. The show waited for you. That music in the background can only mean one thing. It's our two-minute drill, which is brought to you by the folks at Davis Vision. It's their spring sale still going on. Time to ditch those glasses and contacts. Call Davis Vision today. Ask for the spring special. Save $1,000 off of LASIK. Just call Robin. Get on the schedule. Let's figure this thing out. 801-253-3080. That's 801-253-3080. Check them out online, davisvisionmd.com. Scott, what is a two-minute drill? Please explain to the folks who are listening.
All right, I'll be happy to. Late in a football game, you got to go down the field, kick a field goal, score a touchdown. You don't have a lot of time, so you hurry. Our show's the same way. We still have a lot to talk about, but not a lot of time. So we hurry up and talk a little bit about a lot of things, finish the show, go home happy with the trophy, because everyone gets a trophy these days for participating. We get no COVID shots anymore and a plethora of desserts, which includes chocolate souffle, a passion in a pan because, you know, it's a truffle or a trifle or something.
Trifle.
A whole bunch of donuts and no Sam Farnsworth grandpa candy. Whorehound is
it's out. Yeah,
off the menu.
It's out. Still have never had it. Still don't know what it tastes like. Don't care. By the way, I was going to say.
It's not good. I've had it before.
You go
to the Lion House.
I got roped in. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you get some Whorehound candy. He's like, yeah.
They have a bowl of it.
Now, the rolls are good.
Oh, yeah. So I used to have a colleague who, he was a part-time guy at KSL. And then during the day, at night, he was like the guy who got up at 2 in the morning to make the Lion House rolls. I go, are those like, do they have like a lot of butter in them? He goes, dude, the amount of butter I put into those industrial mixers on a nightly basis.
Insane.
You do not mess around.
So, do you think that Red Lobster has the best rolls, like, on the planet?
Okay, so pre-bread meal, or pre-bread?
Yeah.
The stuff that comes in. Cheddar Bay biscuits is pretty hard to beat. Is that what you're talking about?
Uh-huh.
Have you ever been to Cheddar Bay?
I don't know. I the like biscuits are good.
I feel like Cheddar Bay would be a place in Wisconsin. Does Wisconsin touch any of the Great Lakes?
Yeah. Wisconsin?
Well, yeah, I'm just wondering, like, I'm trying to think in my head, which
try
one?
Lake Michigan?
Okay, so Lake Michigan touches.
Milwaukee, Wisconsin is on Lake Michigan.
I know,
Michigan.
Okay, but here's what I'm
Lake
saying.
Lake Superior?
If there's not a Cheddar Bay in Wisconsin that touches part of these Great Lakes.
There's Lullaby Bay.
Doesn't matter. They've already blown it. If they can't have a Cheddar Bay.
Yeah.
All right, so Cheddar Bay biscuits. I will say, though, having little kids, if a place has, like, a good bread setup, like Cheesecake Factory, they used to, at least. They bring out, like, a whole thing of, like, there's, like, a carrot bread in there. There's, like, all different types of breads. And basically, my kids would eat before the meal even came.
Right.
Which is very appreciated.
Because then they don't eat very much.
Well, no. I liked it.
Oh,
because then it keeps them busy.
Keeps them, like, occupied.
You know where I'm
not, right.
You know where I'm at in my life. I'm juggling.
Just keep things calm.
Keep those plates spinning. Let's keep them eating.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Cheddar Bay biscuits. I'm trying to think of anybody. The sourdough bread at Market Street.
Amazing.
Oh, yeah. Texas Roadhouse Rolls. That was a move in college. You ordered a small appetizer.
Tucano's
then,
cheese.
Oh, yeah. The Brazzi Bites.
Yeah, Brazzi Bites. Oh, yeah. Sure.
The old cheese balls. Pretty unbeatable. Yeah. Scott, the SEC commissioner has said that NIL is just direct payments. So, what's his name? Greg Sankey has said that these NIL deals, we're just seeing straight payments here, right? Alabama football head coach Nick Saban, of course, alleged that Texas A&M is paying its players. And then Texas A&M says, no, we're not. That's not how we get recruits to come in here. And, Greg Sankey says, there are some concerning trends. We're not seeing name, image, likeness activity. We're just seeing straight payments.
Look,
just clearing things up.
Yeah.
They just want to throw money at these football playing kids.
So, marketing is arbitrary. It just is. You can't quantify. I mean, when they go, well, it's got to be. Like, there's no way to quantify what throwing money at to market your company really looks
We're
like.
We're paying this kid.
It's for marketing. This whole idea of influencer, right? They're influencers. These kids, they have a large following. They pay people to just go live on a boat and sail around the world. They pay people to just post things like what they wear and social media and digital content is really kind of where everything's moving, and that's where eyeballs are. And so marketers go, we need to put money into that, and you can't quantify it. You just say, well, they got a lot of people following, so you know, maybe some of them will buy your product.
We really like this kid on social media. He's never posted anything. Yeah, we like him though.
Oh man, he's
he's one of the best. Throw some money at him. Straight payments.
Now here's the challenge, though. The universities, I actually learned this today, the universities own the image, right? So the Alabama logo or the Texas A&M logo is owned, and these companies actually have the licensing rights to market that logo, that image.
Yeah, sure.
So if a player wants to use the image, that's actually a violation.
Right.
And that company needs to be reimbursed for the use of the actual Alabama logo or Utah logo.
It's like when you see a guy on TV and the NFL is not a part of it.
Right.
He just has like a black hat on.
Professional football player or professional athlete.
Sure. They'll just put it on those Hulu ads. Yeah.
Can't say like NFL.
Nope.
Yeah.
Yeah, none of that. All right. Scott, let's take a break. We'll come back. Right, we got more to go.
I
got
to go to the bathroom again, so it's probably a good time.
Jeez.
Am I allowed to go now, or what would
you... I said you got to do it quick.
Do I need the hall pass?
You
got to
do it quick.
Permission?
You got to do it quick. But yes, I'll give you permission.
Right.
We'll come back. More around the corner. 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Your home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies.
Y'all ready?
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, all right?
On 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5 1280 The Zone. The Zone Sports Network. Hey, final segment of the program. Thanks for being with us today, by the way. Good show, Scott. I had a really good show. I needed it, too. We were bummed out by a lot of the news that's happening in the world today. But being able to deflect a little bit of that and to go into a space where I – and hang out with you is good. It's really, really good. So
the NFL, man, I feel weird about it. The NFL's so weird about their about the Pro Bowl. And anytime, and this is like the fifth time they've come out in the last 7 years saying this. And the NFL, apparently, according to this USA Today article, the NFL network is and the NFL are trying to discuss Pro Bowl week and how to improve it. I mean, how many times do we have to have this conversation? How do you and they're actually including the discussion now, and I don't think that was part of the like a serious part of the conversation before, but it's the discussion about whether or not they're even going to have it. So they might cancel it, possibly eliminating the traditional game. Good. And using that Sunday to showcase the players that are. What does that mean, though? Showcase the players.
Well, so here's what would be fun.
There's a flag football game on the table.
That's
Scott.
A bad idea. I'm just telling you, the guy, because when you play in a flag football game, guys will get ultra competitive in that. When my son played flag football growing up, they thought, oh, well, it's kind of a safe
introduction
to football.
So you don't have to hit each other.
You have no protection.
But that's when the
zero.
Kids get. That's when the kids get the stitches over the eye.
Yes, blown out knees and ankles and stuff. Yeah, flag football would scare me to death. I'd rather have a regular game than flag football. The best thing in the world. Do the skills challenges. That's what's fun. People like to watch that stuff, and the players like to do it, and do it in a way, you know, maybe you have, I don't know, a mini Olympics with the whole thing. Get creative that way. The quarterback challenge, you know, that's the funnest thing in the world. I love doing that when I did that.
The skills challenge is actually, and you and I were watching a little bit of the quarterback one this year. They have, you know, kind of a 21st century version of it.
I didn't really care for the one they did.
They're throwing at those styrofoam discs.
Get the old golf carts out and just have them zigzagging back and forth across the field.
I love when they put like the chalk dust on the front of those balls.
Oh yeah.
Then you know that he hit it.
Right.
So I just think that the NFL. If you have to have this discussion, the reality is you should probably take the Pro Bowl away. List Pro Bowlers. You have all pro, and then you can have a list of Pro Bowlers because the good ones don't show up anyway.
I think it's time to go.
You got to do something in that week before.
We need to get out of here.
We do.
There's some bad smells in here. We got to go.
You got to get out.
Yeah.
All right.
Time to go.
For Scott Mitchell, I'm Alex Keery. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.